This is The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. The U.S. will impose economic sanctions against Myanmar in response to the recent military crackdown there. The U.S. Treasury Department will freeze assets of the 14 military officials who have led the action. It is the second day of the government crackdown on pro-democracy protesters. 9 people were killed as security forces fired automatic weapons into the crowds. Tens of thousands of protesters, many of whom are monks, have demonstrated in the country's largest city for 10 days in a row. There are also reports that overnight government forces raided several monasteries. Monks were reportedly beaten and more than 100 were arrested. According to a congressional investigation, the actions of private security company Blackwater USA caused a battle in Iraq in 2004 that killed 4 of the U.S. guards in Fallujah. Their bodies were then mutilated and dragged, and this triggered a major month-long conflict. The report found that the security guards were unprepared to go into the insurgent stronghold. In Iraq, the country's vice president, a Sunni, met with the top Shiite cleric. They are trying to agree on political reforms that would unite the country and end the violence. More than 50 people were killed in Iraq yesterday in a wave of bombings and shootings. Al-Qaeda has promised a new offensive during the current holy month of Ramadan. NBC News reports that last month a U.S. and Afghan military mission in Tora Bora almost captured a high-value target believed to possibly be Osama bin Laden. The operation took place over 3 days and nights and left dozens of Al-Qaeda and Taliban members dead. Iran's president is in Bolivia as part of a trip to strengthen his country's ties to Latin America. He is seen by some leftist leaders as a way to counter U.S. influence, especially as an energy and trade partner. In Louisiana, the prosecutor in the Jenna 6 case will not challenge the ruling that sent the case for one of the 6 suspects to juvenile court as opposed to trying the 17-year-old as an adult. The Senate voted today on hate crimes legislation to protect gays, which is attached to a Pentagon spending bill. However, a Republican senator predicts that President Bush will veto the legislation. You are listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business News, coming up next.
Would you like to experience greater well-being and a deeper connection to yourself? If the answer is yes, then Advanced Vibrational Therapy is for you. Hi, I'm Rhonda Reinke, owner of Vibe Alive in Monterey. We are celebrating our one-year anniversary this month, and I would like to invite you to our open house this Friday, September 28th, from 10 to 7 p.m. We're offering free vibe sessions with the Vibe Machine. This machine is a technological breakthrough that enhances the human body by helping it reach its optimum healthy vibration and energy levels. Vibe stands for Vibrational Integrated Biophotonic Energizer. Sit for just a few minutes in front of it and feel energized and relaxed. We are located at 975 Cass at the corner of Carmelito Avenue in Monterey. Call us at 831-655-8888. For more information, be sure to see our website at vibealive.biz. Vibe Alive, where miracles happen. Feel it for yourself. 655-8888.
American researchers have found that all types of alcohol can add equally to the risk of developing breast cancer. Some women may think that drinking wine is more beneficial than other alcohol, such as beer. However, the study found that it is the amount of alcohol that matters, not the type. Walmart is expanding its $4 a month generic prescription drug plan. About 30 new drugs, which cover glaucoma, attention deficit disorder, and other conditions, are now included. The Commerce Department reports that in August, new home sales fell by 8.3%. It is the lowest level in 7 years. Also in August, the median price for a home dropped to $225,700. That is down 7.5% from a year ago. The Labor Department reports that last week, the number of new applications for jobless benefits fell by 15,000 to 298,000, which is a 4-year low. Gold is trading at $739.90 an ounce. Light sweet crude is trading at $82.88 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And at the close of Wall Street today, stocks ended the day up. The Dow Jones was up 35 points at 13,912. The NASDAQ was up 11 points at 2709. And the S&P 500 up 6 at 1531. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! The first thing I want to do this evening as we begin this Thursday night edition of Head On, wrong knob, Bob. There we go. The first thing I want to do as we begin this edition of Head On is to thank all of you for your emails and your phone calls of loving support and concern and attention for Agnes as she had a little bit of outpatient surgery yesterday. It came out very, very well. It went swimmingly, and the news was good. We've still got some more doctoring to do because there are some more unanswered questions. Hence, we will be making runs to Morgantown, to the university clinic there, about 160 miles away from here on both Friday and Tuesday. But I expect we will be on the air, and there's nothing to really be concerned about. But many, many, many thank yous to you for your care and your concern. It reminds me again what a marvelous, marvelous community we have, in fact, built here at the Horn with your help and your support. As you know, if you were listening to the Inside Scoop in the previous hour, Mark Levine had a list about as long as your arm of stuff he wanted to cover in terms of the week in review, and I thought, you know, what the heck? I knew he wouldn't get to all of them, so I thought I invited Mark to stick around for the beginning of this show and thought we would cuss and discuss a little bit of what remained on the list. And for the most part, Mark, that would be S-Chip, wouldn't it?
That's true. I did want to say one last thing that in the last minute I had in talking about the Israel bombing of a Syrian nuclear something. And I don't know what's happening. I don't know that anyone knows, but I'll give you a little trick. If you're ever trying to figure out what's going on in the Middle East, one thing I know for sure, it's very interesting. Israel will admit when they do something. They won't actually, I can't think of an instance, maybe you can, where they actually lie to people. They don't usually do that. What they do is when they don't want to talk about something, they just don't answer. And their silence, like, for example, does Israel have nuclear weapons? Israel doesn't answer. They don't deny it. They don't lie and say no. They just don't answer. When asked whether they attacked the Syrian plant, they simply declined to answer. That, to me, means that, yes, they did attack. There's no question they did. What they attacked is very interesting, and it's just very interesting that Syria didn't complain, because normally, you know, countries attack, they're going to complain. That makes me think it's pretty clear that they hit something that Syria doesn't want the world to know about either. So it's an amazing complicity of both the countries not to talk about what happened there. So I'm done with
that
topic.
Yeah, and initially Syria did announce that they had fired on Israeli military jets, but it dried up pretty quick after that.
Yeah, it did. It did. And that's what's so interesting, that if, you know, I mean, luckily Israel hit whatever they hit, because if they hadn't hit it, Syria would have had a right to complain, absolutely, and would have done so loudly. But it's just a fascinating conspiracy of silence between two brutal enemies. And what I think happened is Syria doesn't want the world to know it's trying to get a dirty bomb. And so if Israel actually hits something, they don't want to discuss that. And Israel doesn't want, you know, anyone to talk about their attack on a sovereign nation. So it's just a fascinating conspiracy of silence there.
Well, it is, and it drives me to put on my little tinfoil hat because, among other things, Mark, I noted in the chat room as you were touching on the issue toward the end of the program, already you're seeing, it's out there, these statements from the right wing that what actually happened was that Israel took out some cache of Saddam's secret weapons of mass destruction.
Now that one I hadn't heard.
Yeah, because that has been the meme all along, Mark.
Right.
Is that you know, Saddam with the perfidy and assistance of the Russians
right.
trucked all of his illegal weapons over to Syria. So we're going to I expect that what we will have happen is that this will be used as a, see, I told you, the Israelis just aren't telling us, but see, they got Saddam's weapons. Saddam had weapons. We told you he had weapons, but you didn't believe us. All you liberals said he didn't have any weapons, and we just slaughtered Iraq for fun.
See, here's what's interesting about all of this. First of all, none of us really know what's going on. It's in all rank speculation, including my own. I just want to admit that for the outset. It is rank speculation. All I'm saying is that something did occur, because I'll tell you, if it didn't occur, Israel would have denied it. They just said, no, we didn't attack. There have been times when Israel's been accused of things that simply didn't occur, and they just deny it. When they don't deny it, that's what. So something did happen. What happened, I don't know. But here's what's interesting. If the right wing is right, and again, and the weapons of mass destruction could be so easily taken out with one pinpoint attack that occurred, you know, at one time. Boy, what a waste of the war in Iraq. Right? I mean, if that were true, all we had to do was take one plane, drop one bomb, it would be over in a day, no American lives lost, very few Iraqi lives lost, no six-year war, no $1 trillion, just...
And no control of the second largest oil reserves in the world.
Oh, yeah, oops.
Yeah, there's that.
I mean, the irony is that what Bill Clinton did with cruise missiles in 1998, I think is actually very similar to what Israel has done here. And that, if you recall, the right wing was in a tizzy about. How dare Bill Clinton go into Afghanistan and attack, you know, the sovereign nation of Afghanistan? He's just trying to wag the dog. He's just trying to avoid.
No, I remember
Monica
it well.
Lewinsky.
Well, while we're speculating,
I think there's actually a place for pinprick attacks. You know, instead of a full invasion, I think sometimes. I mean, for example, I think it was a great idea back in 1982 when Israel took out Iraq's nuclear plant at Osirik. You know, it was one attack. It was not a full scale invasion. It's sometimes that's the best way to go about these things.
And the Arab world, in that instance, remained fairly silent because the rest of the Arab world wasn't crazy either about having Saddam having
nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the point is that, like, with all this discussion of Iran and nuclear power and all of that, you don't have to go to full-scale war. There are options. I mean, listen, I don't think Iran has nuclear power now, but I think they're working on it. You know, you do economic sanctions, and at the worst comes, you do a pinprick. Well, pinprick is kind of, I guess, not really fair.
Well,
but
it's
you
not
do
really.
You
can't do that kind of thing in Iran because Iran learned some lessons from what happened with Osirak.
Well, that's probably true.
Their programs are widely dispersed. But while we're rankly speculating, Mark, before we get to the S-chip issue, I have a more prosaic theory on the Israeli attack into Syria. I don't necessarily know that they bombed anything.
You think it was just an oversight?
No, I think it was an overflight.
Overflight, right.
To make all of Syria's anti-aircraft radars light up.
So they can test where they hit and what works.
And when it comes time for Israel to fly across and bomb the snot out of Iran in conjunction with the United States, they go in low level, boom, 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 Syria's blind, and they go where they will. Because all you've got to worry about...
That may be true.
You know, you've
I didn't even think about that.
You've got Syria and Jordan, then you've got Iraq. They can fly over with Iraq with impunity.
Absolutely.
And, you know, next stop, Iran.
But, you know, they can fly over Jordan with impunity. I mean, Jordan... Well, the problem is... It's interesting. They can't fly over Jordan with political impunity. They can fly over Jordan with military impunity. Because Jordan's military is...
Yeah, the Jordanians can't do anything about it.
Well, absolutely not. Syrian, but the difference is that Israel has such a good relationship with Jordan. I mean, a better relationship with Jordan than any Arab country anywhere, frankly. They really get along well, and so Israel can get in real trouble. I remember when they poisoned a Hamas leader who was in Jordan, and the king, and I think it was the former King Hussein at that time, got so angry that he forced Israel to actually deliver the antidote to the Hamas leader. Not because he had any sympathy for the Hamas leader, but he was angry that this was done on Jordanian soil.
Right.
And they had to fly in the antidote and save this guy. Now, the same guy is now, you know, conducting terrorist attacks in Hamas. But they did it out of, not out of any love of Hamas, but out of the need to keep up their very good political relationship with the country of Jordan.
Well, you know, Mark, I have a predilection for, I hate this phrase, but for connecting the dots. And I can't help but look, I couldn't help when I read yesterday, last night, about the Kyle Lieberman amendment in the Senate, casting my glance backward to the Syrian airspace thing. And dadgummit, Mark, it all falls together way too easily, doesn't it?
But I don't think, and you know, you may disagree with me, I don't think that even George Bush and Dick Cheney are stupid enough to actually believe they're going to do a ground invasion of Iran, which would make the Iraq war look like a cakewalk. I mean, we simply can't do it. I mean, Iran is a far bigger country, a far more powerful country. If there's anyone who thinks that we can invade Iran, you know, with ground forces, they're in complete loony town. I have to think even the neocons, who, you know, are that they don't want to actually invade Iran. Are they really that stupid?
Yes, they are. I mean, if you've got
I don't know. I don't know. I mean,
if you've got the number two oil reserves in the world, wouldn't it be cool to have number three or number one?
We don't have enough troops now to even do what they want to do in Iraq.
No, but this is all
Powell. We don't even have the numbers.
Mark, this is all Powell doctrine stuff. This is where you mount the humongous, overarching, overbearing air and sea campaign. You take out everything and everybody and get them all softened up and move right in and mop up, just as was the case with the first Gulf War.
It ain't even close. It ain't even close.
No, it's not.
It's
you
Iraq
and me,
and
yeah,
Iran,
but you and me,
I
we're
mean,
rational.
Iraq.
We're rational, Mark. They're not.
I just think I
mean,
know.
Frankly, I'm not trying to pick a fight.
Right. Joe, I think she would, you know. There's an interesting article by actually a friend of mine who is at the New America Foundation in Washington, D.C., a guy by the name of Steve Clemens. He writes in Salon that he doesn't think Bush is willing to attack Iran. He thinks Cheney would, but he thinks that actually this is a case where they know they can't do it. They need to do saber-rattling because they want Iran to stop with the nuclear stuff. But that they know that this isn't really going to happen. But you know, on the other hand, I have to admit, in Iraq, I thought that we were saber rattling too. So I thought we were trying to
now you've properly
say Saddam Hussein, you know, let the inspectors in, or we're going to attack. And then when you let the inspectors in, I thought, okay, we wouldn't attack. So you know, I don't know, tricked me. So
now we have the transcript out of the conversation between Jose Maria Aznar and George Bush. Did you see this thing, Mark?
No, I didn't.
This is from the Spanish newspaper El País, and it is a transcript of it's a transcript of the conversation as related by Jose Maria Aznar, who was the Prime Minister of Spain at the time Bush came to power. You know, he was a right winger too, and he has stated clearly that George Bush, at the same time he was telling the American people, we have no desire to go to war in Iraq.
Oh,
war
yeah,
is the
yeah.
last option. At the same time he was doing all that, he was sitting down very candidly with people like Aznar and saying, we will be in Iraq by the end of March 2003.
Yeah.
And as impeachable, as clear a piece of impeachable, of evidence for impeachment as I've seen. I mean, it is certainly every bit as compelling as "I did not have sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky."
A lot more compelling, actually, because when you ask why half the Democrats voted for the war, and let's not forget the half that voted against it, including my former boss, by the way, but the half that voted for it, even them, you have to remember, this was not a vote. At least it wasn't. The language of the vote wasn't seen that way, and those of us in Congress didn't see it that way. This was not a vote, today we go to war in Iraq. It just wasn't. It was a vote that said that authorized the use of force if Iraq didn't comply with a list of things, including basically letting the inspectors in. And Iraq complied, and we invaded anyway.
Yeah, heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. And new statistics out that show, and from the Veterans Administration, not from Move On or anything, from the Veterans Administration showing that from the first Gulf War, the first one, Bush War I, we have recorded our 67,000th veteran death.
What?
Yeah.
67,000?
Thousand.
Thousand?
Yeah.
Bob?
Gulf War syndrome.
67,000?
Yeah.
I mean, I know
somehow
Gulf
Katie,
War syndrome.
Somehow Katie Couric didn't have time to get to that one, Mark.
Wow. Wow. I mean, I know about Gulf War syndrome. I knew it was killing some. I would have imagined it was in the low thousands.
And most of this is attributable to depleted uranium.
67,000?
Yeah.
That's more than Vietnam.
Yeah.
Vietnam was 50-something thousand.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing news, Bob. Hey, give us the link at some point in the break.
I saw it the other day. I will try to find it. It made me.
Yeah, no,
it made me physically ill.
I'll post it on my website. That's shocking news to me. I have to admit, I did not think it was that high.
I don't think my inner ear infection was kicking up, and I saw an extra zero. It wasn't
6,700. Yeah, 6,700. I would find more believable, frankly. 67,000 is shocking. It's truly amazing.
But, wow. You know, the data's out there to support the likelihood of this. The study that was done of the soldiers from that Mississippi National Guard unit, all of whom came home and fathered flipper babies because of their exposure to depleted uranium. I had a conversation with a recruiter yesterday at the hospital while we were waiting for Agnes to come out. He's a tanker, but he's a recruiter in Summersville now. Nice guy, really nice guy. He said, and we talked a little bit about depleted uranium. He said, "Don't talk to me about depleted uranium. I'm a tanker. I know." He said, "That crap aerosolizes at the breach, it aerosolizes at the muzzle, it aerosolizes at the point of impact," and he said, "It is killing us."
What is the purpose? What was the purpose of depleted uranium? Is it like Agent Orange in Vietnam?
No. Depleted uranium makes lead look like a Nerf ball.
No, but why do we use it?
Because it's so heavy. You put a depleted uranium projectile into a Soviet-made T-72 tank, and the T-72 tank turns to powder.
It's just a very powerful bomb.
It's not about the uranium. It's about the literal atomic weight of the metal. It is incredibly heavy. And it's the radiation doesn't get you. It's the toxic nature of the heavy metal.
So it's like an Agent Orange kind of thing. It's the idea is that it's sort of it's a chemical weapon that's used to obliterate everything.
It's inadvertently a chemical weapon because of its tendency to aerosolize.
I see.
And our soldiers who shot the rounds in tanks, our soldiers who shot the rounds in artillery pieces, you know, field artillery pieces, howitzers, whatever, were all exposed to that aerosolized depleted uranium, and it makes you desperately sick. It kills.
Now, did we not know?
Sure, we knew.
Did that?
Sure, we knew.
We didn't provide the soldiers with anything?
No.
Face masks?
No.
So here it was. We were providing them with all these masks and things to deal with Saddam Hussein's chemical weapons in 1991, which he had a few. He barely used them, if at all. And we didn't provide them with protection against our own chemical weapons?
No, we kind of didn't.
Oops. It's too expensive? To give our soldiers masks?
No, it's bad for the bottom line. I mean, there's a lot of money to be had out of depleted uranium munitions.
Yeah, but why can't we give our soldiers face masks?
Because then we would have to then we would have to admit to the soldiers that we were deliberately subjecting them to toxic chemical weapons.
Ah. Yeah,
and then they would have claims when they came home against the VA. I mean, the VA is still out there more or less denying Gulf War syndrome, much as the same as they buried their heads in the sand with regard to Agent Orange.
Well, is there some wonderful class action where my heroes, the lawyers, are attacking hard?
Not really.
There's got to be somewhere. There's got to be some litigation somewhere. I don't know.
Mainly it's a lot of attempts to get the VA to acknowledge it, and the VA is beginning to at least acknowledge the number of deaths.
It may just be that, and I don't know the specific law on this, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's a law that basically says, hey, if the military kills you, you can't sue. You know, I think about Pat Tillman, friendly fire,
yeah,
right?
Right.
I'm sure that there's some law that protects the military against his family getting, you know, some kind of compensation for his death. There's probably, you know, some amendment somewhere that says, oh, if the military accidentally kills you, oh, well,
yeah, whoopsie.
We promise we'll send condolence cards. So that's probably what's protecting
but please
them.
Bear in mind, please bear in mind, Mark, as we think about what it's done to our own soldiers.
In Iraq, I'm sure.
In Iraq, and frankly, let's be fair. In Bosnia, in
we
Serbia.
In Bosnia?
Hell yes. Clinton administration used it freely.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
No, it's a wonder weapon as far as an artillery piece is concerned.
How long have we been using this?
Probably the first widespread use, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, the first widespread use was the first Gulf War.
Hmm.
You know, rather than send the depleted uranium off to some radioactive waste dump, you know, we turn it into a weapon and kill our own soldiers.
There you go. Hey, you know, recycling.
Yeah, yeah, it's great.
Like recycling.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm sure.
Environmental.
Yeah,
right?
It's green. It's green.
We don't want.
It's glow in the dark green, but it's green.
We don't want to send it to Nevada where we've got, you know, electoral votes. We'll just spray it on our troops in the nation of Iraq and Bosnia too.
Beautiful, ain't it?
Recycling.
Oh, and God. You.
So I shouldn't laugh. It's just
no.
Awful.
It's heartbreaking.
It's just awful.
But it's just, but you know it's out there because A, it's an effective artillery warhead, and B, there's a hell of a lot of money to be made in it.
Well, there's always a hell of a lot of money.
And you know we wouldn't
want to
inform the troops because they might come home and sue the manufacturer.
Well, I think they.
And then George Bush would have to stand up on a stump somewhere and say, "You see these soldiers that were poisoned by depleted uranium? They sued. They're abusing the court system, and they've won life's lottery."
That's right. They're abusing the court system. Why aren't academics and scientists proving this stuff and the media reporting it? I mean, I've searched some academics somewhere is proving this stuff.
Well, you know, if OJ would hit somebody with a depleted uranium round.
Or Anna Nicole Smith were to die of it.
Or Lindsay Lohan was caught snorting it.
Or Paris Hilton was using it in her video.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's a little bit flip, but there's a hell of a lot of truth in it, Mark.
Unfortunately, yes.
So,
hey, I've tried to have an OJ-free show, Bob. I mean, I know this is your show, but I tried. You know, I mean, those two initials, I've tried for 4 years never to utter them.
I know, but I got a photograph in the mail from a listener that was photoshopped, and it put me on the ground, Mark. And, you know, here I am talking about a photo on the radio, you know, dancing about architecture. But
exactly.
The fact of the matter is it was a Photoshop job of a bride and groom, and the bride had that woman's head who shot her husband in the back, you know, the Fundy minister down in Selmer, Tennessee.
Yeah.
It was her face on the bride and OJ on the groom. A marriage made in heaven.
Oh,
God.
I shouldn't.
No, but we actually had planned to talk about SCHIP, but you know.
Yeah, and we're coming up on the half-hour break. Why don't we have the break, and then we'll devote the next half-hour to SCHIP.
Oh, yeah, you got
to
make me work. I don't have a producer here, remember?
Well, I'm reminding you of the, you know, it's a half-hour. It's time to take a break.
All right, we'll take a break.
Call in. I want some people to call in.
Yeah, I do, too. We'll see if there's actually anybody on these blinking lights right now.
Okay, and
all
then
right.
We'll go to SCHIP.
All right, that's Mark Levine. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On for a Thursday night, and we sure are glad to have you along. Join in the conversation at 877-443-2366 or on your nickel 304-658-5453. We'll be right back right here on America's Liberal Voice, The Horn.
Trailer Love. trailer love. She's my trailer love. Single wide, chicken fried. Mister, we know how to live. Come on in here, have a beer.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
From the Night Sound Studios, here's Charm City's very own, sassy and classy, Erica Richards.
Join us at Night Sounds every Saturday night at 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern for a unique musical experience. You'll hear featured segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications hosted by yours truly, Erica Richards. To request a dedication, please contact Erica Richards at billyshearsmusic.com. That's Erica with a K and Shears, Shears. To reach Billy Shears, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. We'll be waiting for you this Saturday evening.
This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
I thought an interesting comment was made when somebody said to me, I heard somebody say, "Now where's Mandela?" Well, Mandela's dead because Saddam Hussein killed all the Mandelas.
Jumping Jiminy. All right, welcome back. I had to share that little clip with you. That is from September the 20th. That's just a few days ago, dear leader, declaring that Nelson Mandela is no longer among the living, Mark. Nelson.
I would think Nelson Mandela should come up and say, George, hello. I'm still out there.
It's me, George.
I'm not dead yet.
Saddam killed all the Mandelas.
I'm not dead yet, in the words of that Monty Python movie, right?
I'm not dead yet. you will be very soon. You're very ill. Lord.
I said you were dead, damn it. We shoot Mandela.
Because Saddam killed all the Mandelas. What was he thinking?
What does that mean? Saddam killed all the Mandelas, but we don't have any political opponents left in the world.
I don't know, Mark. Let's see.
I don't know one Saddam. I mean, he's executed some in Iraq. Yeah.
I mean, once more with feeling, for heaven's sakes.
I thought an interesting comment was made when somebody said to me, I heard somebody say, "Now, where's Mandela?" Well, Mandela's dead because Saddam Hussein killed all the Mandelas.
Okay, wait. Maybe, and I hate to give Bush any credit for anything, maybe he was talking about the Mandelas of Iraq. That might make sense. I'm just trying to understand a very strange comment. Who knows? Let's go on and talk about Chip.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, let's go to the phones first.
All right.
Susan's joining us from Columbia City, Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
The reason I'm calling is because you mentioned, I think it was you, Mark. You said, how would they invade Iran? We don't have the men.
We don't.
Army Secretary, I'm looking at a news article. Army Secretary Pete Garin said, speeding up the growth of the force, he's asking for $3 billion to expand the size of the army.
It would take 5 or 10 years to expand the size of the army to the size necessary to take on Iran, particularly when we're all bogged down in Iraq.
Well, that's one of the stumbling blocks. I can't really see somebody being silly enough to sign on. But when you're talking about a $3 billion expansion at a minimum, and Gates is saying he's inclined to sign on with it. So,
$3 billion to the U.S. military is pocket change.
Yes, I know.
I mean, I realize in Congress it's a billion here, a billion there, and pretty soon you're talking about real money. That's a uh-huh. famous quote. But I know neoconservatives have their dreams, and I know that they're dreaming of everyone holding hands and singing kumbaya and worshiping the President of the United States. But I don't know. I mean. Then again, they're the ones that said that the oil would pay for the war, and they greet us with roses. So I guess there are always our fantasies.
Well, I'm just terrified of them getting a foot in the door, because that's all they seem to need is a foot in the door, and then they just proceed to take the door off.
But they don't have time. I mean, Bush is gone, thank God, in 18 months, less than 18 months. I guess the idea is if they begin something. That even if we have a Democrat,
look what Bush the first did. He completely screwed up the whole thing in Somalia and then handed it off to Bill Clinton. And so while he was the one responsible, Bush one was responsible for not sending the appropriate equipment to Somalia. It's right. Clinton who gets blamed for Black Hawk Down.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, I mean. I'd like to apply reason and common sense to all of this, Mark, but I gotta go with Susan a little bit on this one, because you cannot use reason, you can't use common sense, you cannot use the rational mind when you're talking about these people, these neocons, these murderers, these thugs, these killers.
Do you think that people in the Pentagon would quit?
Pardon?
You think that a bunch of generals would quit?
No,
I mean, I would think
no.
This is the
generals. That's another breakdown here in America. It's the breakdown of the infrastructure, bridges falling down, and our general officers are not worth a tinker's dam. We don't have any patents. We don't, and what's more, we don't have any more Omar Bradleys. We don't have any Blackjack Pershings. Okay,
we used to have an Eric Shinseki. I mean, we used to have
who got cashiered for speaking his
right.
mind, and ever since then, all the generals that leave, they turn around. Once they're making the long walk to the mailbox every 30 days. For the retirement check, then they speak up. But they will not speak up while the jewelry is still on their shoulder boards.
When it would make a difference. Bob, I'm going to be sending you an audio clip. It's a recording of a call that Randy Rhoads got
mm-hmm.
on her show from a soldier in
okay.
Iraq.
Okay. Okay.
Among other things, he comes right out and he calls Bush Cheney's criminals and war profiteers. And he said all he and his buddies want to do is come home.
Sure. Sure.
It's a heartbreaking call.
Okay, well, I'll look for the audio of that. I don't know if I've... maybe we'll use it and assume permission from Randy.
It's just... I don't
fair,
know.
Fair
it,
use,
you know,
Bob. Fair
yeah,
use.
Fair use, right. That's what, yeah.
Yeah, fair use. Anyway, it's just an incredible call. And it's... The soldiers over there have apparently figured out a way to get hold of Air America, at the very least. Possibly the Hornet. I don't know. I don't know how they're
getting. Oh, we've got, Susan, we've got listeners in Iraq.
Good. But what I'm saying is they know who's responsible for this, and they know also that the Democrats need to get spying. And we need to get that point across to the Democrats.
Yeah, and there's a whole Democrat spying thing coming later in the program if I get
to it. Oh, yeah, Pelosi and her little...
Yeah. Yeah. Susan, thanks so much, dear.
Yeah, I sincerely hope you're going to cover Clinton voting for Kyle Lieberman.
Oh, God. It turns my stomach, but yeah. And so did Robert Byrd voted against it, and my other senator, John D. Rockefeller IV, voted for it.
Don't you just love Congress?
I'll let
you go
yeah,
on.
It's like, Susan, it's like what Mark Twain said. Assume you are an idiot. Assume you are a member of Congress. But I
yeah.
repeat myself. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks, Susan.
You have a nice day, and give Agnes my love.
Sure will. Sure will.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Mark, on to S-Chip.
Let's talk about S-Chip.
Because this one's sort of near and dear to my heart. As of Sunday the 30th, when this legislation expires, my kids are flapping in the breeze, Mark.
So they were covered by S-Chip.
Yeah, sure. And, you know, too bad, so sad, you know, if you get sick, if you break, you know, if something gets broken, God forbid, too bad. Too bad. George Bush says, too bad. And you know what? I'm really angry about it. I mean, you know me, I try to avoid the blue language. I try to avoid F-bombs on this program because I'm a trained broadcaster and I just work without them. But this is one of those, you know, where I want to haul out all the hateful little words that I'm ashamed for my mama to know that I know how to use. Because this is, I mean, he's done some mean, rotten, vicious, vile, revolting things in the time that he has occupied the People's White House. But this, I think, is a new low for him, Mark, a new low. And not out of some concern. He's not doing this out of some concern that the care delivered is inadequate.
No, this is private companies that deliver the care. This is simply government aid to kids.
Yeah, this is
that American kids won't die because they're too poor. And
he's afraid it'll lead to a further federalization of the medical system.
That's what's so interesting about it, is that he can't even attack the legislation on its own terms. He can't even say, no, I think that 9-year-old needs to get a job. I think that 4-year-old with leukemia needs to go out and work for a living.
And these are, you know, these are fiscal conservatives, Mark. I forget the lovely
they're
lady.
They're not fiscal conservatives.
I know, but the lovely lady you had on, you had this lovely lady on your program who remarked on the case of the young boy in Maryland who didn't have coverage for dental treatments. Okay, mm-hmm. He developed an infection inside his tooth. It went to his brain. It cost the state of Maryland and the people of the United States about $800,000 to hospitalize and treat this young man, and he died anyway. Now, isn't preventive coverage like that? It's an investment, isn't it?
Well,
it's a way to save money.
There's always Jonathan Swift's modest proposal.
Eat 'em,
Bob.
Yeah, sure.
It makes sense. It helps the poor and it helps the rich. What you do is you fatten up the poor kids. You give them all kinds of treatment. You give them all kinds of health care, and you build up their fat content, and then you kill them and feed them to the rich. The poor get paid for their produce. The rich get a wonderful delicacy, and everybody's happy. It's a modest proposal.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. But no, this really does anger me because it's wrong on so many levels. And it's,
hey, Bob, we need to tell our listeners, those Ralph's in the chat room wants to know what happened, and we haven't given him the basic story.
Oh, okay.
So
well,
you gotta start with the story before we criticize it.
Go, Mark.
All right. Basically, the legislation has passed. It passed the House. It was 265 votes, which means that it was virtually all Democrats, and about 40 of the 180 or so Republicans. So it's about 20% of the Republicans. But Bush, and it's going to pass the Senate as well. We have the votes. And, in fact, in the Senate, including the Republicans, we have 67 votes. So the expected projection of this bill is it will pass the House. Or it has passed the House, excuse me. It will pass the Senate. Bush will veto the bill as promised. The Senate will override the veto. And the belief is that they can't get enough House Republicans to get the two-thirds necessary to override the veto, that full 70 or 80% of Republicans will say, in effect, American children don't deserve health care. We'd rather spend the money. By the way, the cost of this is 40 days in Iraq versus giving 10 million American kids health care for a year.
Right.
And the cost is one of my favorite people to attack, as Bob knows. It's smokers. I mean, it's not even raising income taxes,
It's not increasing taxes on people who definitely deserve to have their income taxes increased.
No, it's not. It just attacks people who, you know, are my favorite whipping boy, smokers. It goes up 61 cents a pack.
I got a camel going now, Mark.
But you know, helping to encourage addicts like Bob to quit smoking, at the same time, obviously, funding 10 million American children, which is the most important thing about it.
Now, there's a wrinkle in this S-CHIP legislation, Mark, that I find rather interesting. In the chat room, Trouble just pointed out that Dennis Kucinich voted against it in the House.
What?
Yeah. He voted against it.
Why?
Because in the original version that was passed by the House, there was language that would include in those covered legal, not illegal, not the ones that the Republicans hate more than usual, legal immigrants' children would have been covered.
Not taking them out.
And in the conference committee, that language was pulled.
Hmm.
So, you know, he said it was unconscionable for him to say that. Some children are better than others. Some poor children are, you know, all. What is it? What is it from Animal Farm? All pigs are equal, but some pigs are more equal than other pigs.
Yeah. Well, listen, I agree with Kucinich, but I understand, I guess, why it was pulled. They're trying to get Republicans to sign on enough to get the two thirds to overrule Bush's veto. And I haven't. This battle is not over, Bob. I think there is a significant chance that after Bush vetoes the bill. And after the Senate overrides the veto, they only need 25 more Republicans to get the magic two-thirds. And I don't think that's out of the question. Do the Republicans really want to go into an election on 08 saying they think American kids shouldn't get health care?
Well, it depends on where those Republicans are, Mark. I heard a soundbite from one goober from Texas, for instance. Who said something, and it was someone you don't usually hear from. I can't remember the name. But he said, this is a trip down the slippery slope to socialized medicine.
Oh, well, they
all. And, of course, the morons that vote that man into office are all sitting there nodding their little spring-loaded heads going, yep, socialists, uh-huh.
But who are these morons, Bob? Maybe you know some of them in West Virginia, because and I don't
Easy.
Mean to attack West Virginia. I love your state. It's a beautiful state. But, hey, we got a bunch of them in Tennessee, too.
No, I know them here. I know them in Alabama. I know them all over the place.
Okay, well, Bob, explain to the listeners and explain to me something I've never understood. You've got a poor white person in Alabama or West Virginia or Tennessee whose kids may very well need health coverage themselves,
mm-hmm.
whose kids may very well be on S-CHIP themselves, who is supporting not having the government fund their own kids' health care. Can you please explain this to me? Because it blows my mind, and I don't get it.
It's a long lecture, Mark.
Well, let's go for it. It's an important one. Look, where
Southern ignorance is concerned, it goes back to the very very first founding days of this country when poor whites were at risk of standing with black slaves and rising up against the landed gentry.
Okay,
so
but
the
is
poor
this
whites
a
were played off.
Issue?
No,
I mean,
no, it's a it, no, it's a, it's this, but it comes down through the centuries, Mark, and it's manifested in things like people who make substandard wages going to the polls and voting for people who want who favor right to work laws. Okay, and things like I don't need no union. The day of the union's passed.
Well, I'm just trying to understand.
No, but I know you are. But it's the same guy that says that kind of crap is the same guy who says, well, we don't need no socialized medicine.
Okay, but why does the guy say the crap? What is going on in that?
Because
that
it's all he gets.
Brain of his.
It's all he gets. He goes to work and he hears it from his boss. He goes to church and he hears it from the pulpit. He goes home and he turns on Fox News and he hears it from Fox. He's on his way home in the car and he turns on the radio and it's Rush or it's Hannity or it's one of these other vile SOBs saying the same thing. He does it. He does it because he never hears anything different.
Why, though? I get that. But why does he think it's in his interest? Why does he just not care? Why does he think it's in his interest to deny his own kids health care? I mean, does he not realize that?
I'm
speechless.
I know. And it'll make you that way. The authoritarian mindset is really, really deep. It's manifested all over the place. It's manifested all over Southern history and redneck history and so forth. In so far as we will trust our leaders. And if he tells us it's communist, well, he wouldn't lie to us because we seen him in church last week.
So that's really the heart of it. It's people saying the president's right.
Well, he wouldn't be president if he wasn't.
Well, okay, but it doesn't work when Bill Clinton's president.
Well, no, because he was a lecherous, vile, draft-dodging, sinful Satan worshiper because he was a Democrat.
No, but Southerners used to like Democrats.
That's, no, we quit liking them after they got...
They liked the black people.
Yeah, when they started helping the black folk get all uppity.
Right, right. So in the end, it does come all down to race.
Yeah, sure it does, because, you know, among other things, if they're not calling it socialized medicine, Mark, they're calling it welfare.
There you go. And welfare means white people paying for black people.
Yeah, can't have it. Why can't they pick themselves up by their own bootstraps? And, of course, there's something else that our good friend Joe Vecchio has mentioned. Some of these people, and there's a certain mean-spiritedness to it, Mark, in that they think that someday they're going to be as rich as the mean people are, and they're going to get to be mean, too.
Right.
I'm not kidding.
God.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's those 25 Republican votes that you want, I applaud your optimism, but I wouldn't, you know, I ain't taking the bet.
10 million American children.
Yeah.
10 million American children. I mean, you know, children. That's apple pie. That's family values. That's
sure it is. And if it was Mark Levine,
around.
If it was 10 million fetuses, you would hear a cry and a hue arising out of the fundamentalist pulpits of the South, demanding that this legislation be passed.
Oh,
if it was
God.
For 10 million fetuses.
Well, that's true.
I hate them.
More valuable tissue.
You know, I loathe them. I despise them. You know, you're very nice to them. You invite them on your program and everything.
I do, but I tell them off on my program.
Yeah, you do. But see, that's the difference between you and me. I'd be across the table with a ball bat. You know, you people are. They're hurting our country. They're hurting me.
I know.
That little. Okay, here it comes. Here it comes. Close your ears, mamas. Get the children out of the room. That little bastard at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue has mounted an assault on my children. He's killed 500,000 of them in Iraq. But that's not enough. Now he's after mine. And I hate him for it. See, you're a Bush hater. Damn right. And I got a reason, and I'll tick them off one by one, Mark. Ferg, Margie, Laura, Liza, Sarah. There's five good reasons for me to hate George Bush. Because when God forbid, if something bad happens to them and I need to take them to the emergency room, George Bush doesn't think that my children deserve to have the same care as his rotten little test tube babies got.
Yep, he thinks frozen embryos are more important than your kids, Bob.
Yeah. So, am I out of line for hating him for that?
Bunch of cells. That's what he wants.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry.
And the sons of bitches that support him in this. You know, it's all over right wing radio.
See, there's the ones whose brains that I want to understand. I actually get Bush. I understand this privileged frat boy who basically thinks he's better than everybody else and everyone else should just suffer. I understand that. It's as old as racism. I actually get Bush. He's the Prince George. He's the king's son. He can do what he wants. He owns you. I get him.
And
he
carries water for the insurance industry.
I get Bush. What I don't get is the people who vote for Bush. You know what? I get the CEOs who vote for Bush. I get that, okay? Mm-hmm. I understand why the head of Walmart votes for Bush. I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that Alabama is such a red state, and particularly in the poorer areas of Alabama.
Well, that's, you know, there's some more of that. I don't think in the 2004 election campaign, Mark, John Kerry went to Alabama once.
Well, that's probably true.
And I think you interviewed the guy who wrote Whistling Past Dixie at one point.
Yeah, I did.
And I could not disagree with that man more. Because, you know, you and I, we're both Southerners, and I love the place I came from. And I love the people there.
You know, I do,
there.
Too. I really do. I do. It's Well, I have a love-hate relationship with the South.
And to just blithely say that it doesn't matter and we're just going to give it over to the Republicans because even... You know, I mean, what an up-east snobbery that is, Mark. We're not even going to try to talk to them hillbillies and rednecks. He can't get through to them.
Is the answer religion, Bob? Is the answer to show more respect for fundamentalist and other religion and it show a religiosity so that people, once they know that you have values, are willing to hear what you have to say? Is that what it's about? Is that the way to reach Southern voters?
No, because the Southern voters won't let you in there, all right? They won't. You can't stand up and disagree in those churches. You can't prove to them.
You got Jim Wallace. You got a whole host of very Christian liberal thinkers. I mean, people who say, "Hey, Jesus talked about the poor." Hello, did they have no way in?
No.
I mean, does nobody read the New Testament anymore?
No. The fundamentalist Southern churches are in love with the Old Testament, Mark. You know, the stuff that you
Well,
got...
even the Old Testament talked about taking care of the poor, widow, and the orphan.
No, that's not the fun part. The fun part is where you get to stone people for what goes on when the lights go out. That's the part that they're into. They're very selective readers of Scripture.
The irony is that's the part that predates the Old Testament. That's from Eye for an Eye. That's Hammurabi Code.
Yeah. The part you guys lifted.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
But that's what they love, you know. And you know, meanwhile, Rahm Emanuel a few years ago, and I guess it's still ongoing, was tete-a-tete with Howard Dean for Dean's 50-state strategy. Howard Dean wanted to go into the South, wants to go into the South, build organizations.
Yes, he does.
You know, and the irony of it is the place I come from would still be eating dirt if it wasn't for liberals.
That's true. Look in the 1930s. Look at the Tennessee Valley Authority.
Precisely.
My area of the country.
Well, that's my area, too. And they would. They'd still be eating dirt if it wasn't for liberal policies. There's a train station in Florence, Alabama, where both Woodrow Wilson and FDR stood and spoke. Well, FDR didn't stand. But bringing a new day and new hope to that era and literally lifting it out of midnight darkness.
Okay, but Lyndon Johnson did that. I mean, the war on poverty did an amazing stuff in the South. We don't have to go back to the 30s. We can go back to the 60s.
Yeah, but Lyndon Johnson empowered uppityness.
It's the civil rights laws undo his entire war on poverty? Is that the
judgment right.
of the South?
Darn right.
He was a Texan, for God's sake. And a very southern person, lots of ways.
But he also had the common sense to admit when the Civil Rights Act was signed that we will lose the South for a generation. He said it.
That's true. No, he knew his stuff. Hey, Bob, we're coming up on the hour. You want to take a break here?
Yeah, we'll slide aside for a second and go see what's happening in this crazy little mixed up world of ours. Mark, I'm enjoying the heck out of this. Can you hang for another few minutes?
I'll hang for a little while longer, sure.
Okay, so that's beautiful. So we'll be back. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network. You're listening to Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. That's Mark Levine. And we decided to just tag team this thing tonight. It's kind of fun, isn't it, Mark?
It's always fun talking to you, Bob.
All right, we'll be back. You know how to reach the program, 877-443-2366, 877-443-2366. The numeral 4 head on, or on your nickel, 304-658-5453. Email comes rolling in to bob@headonradio.com. Learn it, know it, use it. You're welcome to join in. We'll be back.
This is the Quality News Network. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says he will likely approve an Army proposal to spend close to $3 billion extra to expand U.S. active duty forces at a faster pace. He said recruiting will need to pick up, but standards would not be lowered. In Myanmar, government forces opened fire with automatic weapons on crowds of unarmed pro-democracy demonstrators, killing at least 9. It's the second day of a crackdown. For more than a week, tens of thousands of protesters have joined daily in marches following Buddhist monks who first dared to take to the streets demanding freedom. There are also reports that overnight government military forces raided several monasteries, beating monks and arresting more than 100. In response to the military's recent actions, the U.S. will impose economic sanctions against Myanmar. The U.S. Treasury Department will freeze assets of the 14 military officials who have led the crackdown. According to a congressional investigation, the private security company Blackwater USA caused a battle in Iraq in 2004 that killed 4 of its guards in Fallujah. The report found that the security guards were unprepared to go into the insurgent stronghold. In Iraq, the country's vice president, a Sunni, met with the top Shiite cleric. They're trying to agree on political reforms that would unify the country and end the violence there. It's now reported that a wave of bombings and shootings in Iraq yesterday killed more than 50 people. Al-Qaeda has promised a new offensive during the current holy month of Ramadan. NBC News reports that last month a U.S. and Afghan military mission in Tora Bora almost captured a high-value target believed to possibly be Osama bin Laden himself. The operation took place over 3 days and nights and left dozens of Al-Qaeda and Taliban members dead. In Louisiana, the prosecutor in the Gina 6 case will not challenge the ruling that sent the case for one of the 6 suspects to juvenile court. The prosecutor could have worked to try the 17-year-old as an adult. At a New Hampshire debate last night among the Democratic candidates for president in 2008, the 3 leading hopefuls admitted that they cannot guarantee all U.S. troops will be pulled out of Iraq by 2013. That's the end of their first term. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
Civility takes an effort. It requires that people remember that relationships need our attention. Whether we are talking about our most important personal relationships, how we get along with our colleagues, or the way we interact with strangers, it is what we contribute that defines the results. Even when the other people are not prepared to give their best selves, what we put in determines what we get out. Ralph Waldo Emerson suggested, "We must be as courteous to a man as we are to a picture, which we are willing to give the advantage of a good light." This is the essence of civility. When we are civil to strangers, when we defer at the intersection instead of racing out ahead, when we hold the door for someone we don't know, When we smile at someone who catches our eye, we declare our choice for a civilized society. For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
NASA launched the Dawn probe today, sending the spacecraft on a decade-long trek to meet up with an asteroid and a dwarf planet 3 billion miles away. They hope the close encounters will reveal some of the secrets of the early solar system. Tropical Storm Lorenzo is forming off of Mexico's Gulf Coast. The U.S. National Hurricane Center says the tropical depression's getting stronger, with top winds of up to 60 miles an hour. American researchers say it doesn't matter what type of alcohol a woman drinks, they all equally increase her risk of developing breast cancer. The amount of alcohol is the factor, not the type of alcohol. Walmart is expanding its $4 a month generic prescription drug plan. About 30 new drugs, which cover glaucoma, attention deficit disorder, and other conditions, are now going to be included. The Commerce Department reports that in August, new home sales fell by 8.3%. It's the lowest level now it has been in 7 years. Gold is trading at $739.90 an ounce. That's up almost $5. Light sweet crude is trading at $82.88. And the Dow was up 35 points to close at 13,912. The NASDAQ was up 11. And the S&P 500 was up 6. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Yes, you most assuredly are, and we are having a whole lot of fun this evening. With me on the line, our good friend and the host who precedes me in the evening, he of the Radio Inside Scoop, he who so ably deconstructs right-wing Republican arguments from there inside the Beltway in D.C., our very good friend Mark Levine. Mark, I want to, if you don't mind, I want to take us to a couple of places, but particularly some right-wing radio filth. But I see a couple of lines blinking here. Let's see if there's anybody on the line. Without Agnes, I just kind of have to guess, okay? Stand by.
All right.
Hey, nah, see.
That was a dial tone.
Hey, welcome to the program. Who have I got?
Hello, this is Alan.
Hey, Alan, how are you?
Pretty good. How about you?
Oh, I'm getting along okay.
Hey there, Alan.
Hey, Mark.
How you doing, Alan?
Pretty good, pretty good. I'm glad Agnes is doing better.
She is. She is. She's very, went through everything very, very well.
That's good. I was trying to think of something to say, and during the break, this guy was talking about civil society.
Yeah.
He's talking about how you'd be nice to even strangers. And George Bush, he seems like he disdains poor people, like by his statement about poor people aren't necessarily killers. I always thought that sounded...
Yeah.
Very much just saying, talking about racism.
They're not. You're kidding me. They're not necessarily killers? Because I thought they were. So that's really news to me, George. Thank you for that. That's like Bill O'Reilly's. And the black people, they acted almost like they were white in the restaurant.
And it was just like any other restaurant I'd ever been in, even though it was run by blacks.
I know. And now poor people are not killers. I am learning so much from Bush and from O'Reilly.
But, you know, Alan, that campaign disturbs me a little bit. And I like Tony Seaton a lot. I consider him a very good friend. But there's something in that civility argument that bothers me just a bit, mainly because there's a question embedded in that, and that is, are we called upon to be civil when the other side is as incivil, uncivil, as hateful and mean as they can possibly make themselves? Are we really?
Yes, this makes me think of those monks doing their silent protest in Myanmar.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows how powerful that is and what Martin Luther King Jr. did. One of these days we'll wake up, I hope.
Well, I hope so too, but as long as the other side is behaving like thugs, it's awfully hard, at least for me, to be civil.
Well, you know, I think that there's a midpoint, I guess. Civility should never mean that you're not challenging someone for what they say. I mean, or what they do. If you ever stop challenging the government in word and in deed, then you've just acquiesced to dictatorship. I mean, to refuse to challenge the government is absolutely un-American. So let's just get that right out of the way. Now, if civility means that you don't make up stuff about your opponents, all right, I'll accept that. We don't need to make up stuff about George Bush. We have enough factual stuff out there.
Yeah, right.
So I think it depends on how you define civility. I mean, I would agree, actually, that to go out there and, you know, I don't know, show pictures of George Bush with fangs and blood, not that he hasn't killed a lot of people, he has, but I would rather personally talk about how he lied to get us into war, how he's not insuring our children, you know, how depleted uranium is killing people. I'm not saying that there's not blood on his hands, but me, and maybe I'm wrong here because the right tends to use these visceral images and they tend to win that way, so maybe I'm just dead wrong, but I personally would rather fight with reasoned debate than with, you know, bloody hand imagery. But on the other hand, I'm the first to recognize, and Karl Rove knows it well, that kind of stuff gets people to act sometimes in ways that reasoned debate doesn't. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't do it so much. I don't think I do.
I'm guilty.
You know, I mean, the only time I ever used a four-letter word on the show was talking about Karl Rove. And, I mean, come on. How can you talk about Karl Rove without using excrement or feces? I mean, there's just no way. Even Bush does it. I mean, come on.
Sure. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I'm not sure what civility means, Alan. That's, I guess, the heart of it. The question is, what did people really mean by that? I'm afraid they use it as a way to say, don't attack the government. And as I say, saying don't attack the government, that is an un-American statement. Now, if they're saying, when you attack the government, do so truthfully, I'm okay with that.
Oh, I definitely think we should fight the government, but not, you know, not with guns, but through peaceful protest.
We're required to, as far as I see it, as Americans. I think once you accept whatever the government says as word and you don't challenge it, then I, as far as I'm concerned, you're unpatriotic, you're un-American.
Yeah, and then when that doesn't work, you have to do what those monks are doing, which I think is very powerful.
It is powerful.
Hey, Alan, thanks for calling. It's always good to talk to you, my friend.
Nice talking to you. Have a good day.
Take care now. Bye. Now, Mark, I know you don't set aside 3 hours a day to check in on the Excellence in Broadcasting Network.
You know, I don't seem to have the time.
Or the OxyContin. I know.
It would take heroin, I think, to make me listen to that.
Oh, trust me. I've tried it with that Gorilla Glue you can buy at Home Depot.
You still get up, huh?
Yeah, it still don't work.
I don't know how the people at Media Matters listen to it, because I have to. But
well, you know, I was talking with Eric Bollert a couple of nights ago. And I said, you know, you guys are going to have one hell of a workers' comp claim someday.
Yeah, really?
From those poor little interns that have to sit there with their headphones on listening to this drivel
exactly.
for three
I mean,
hours a day. I mean, they got a guy that listens to Limbaugh. They got a guy that listens to Hannity.
Uh-huh.
They got a guy that listens to O'Reilly and Savage and all these other freakazoids. And I don't know,
Limbaugh or Agent Orange, which would I prefer? I don't know.
Oh,
it's tough.
So he was on, of course, he was on the air yesterday, Mark.
Yep.
And prattling on, and he got a caller asking him, why is it you always just accuse the Democrats of being against the war and suggest there are absolutely no Republicans that could possibly be against the war?
Yeah, Chuck Hagel and others, yeah.
Yeah, and so he responds by saying, well, who are these Republicans? And goes on and takes the guy to task and tells him he's not really a Republican, that kind of thing.
Chuck Hagel,
that the caller's not a real Republican. Well, then another guy calls in, and this is where the fun starts.
Okay.
Another guy calls in, and you'll hear the exchange, and I have a pretty good idea that you'll know where to start screaming, okay?
That's mic up. I'm ready to scream.
Okay, so here we go. This is from yesterday's Excellence in Broadcasting.
I'm listening.
Hi, Rich. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I I have a retort to Mike in Chicago, because I am a serving American military in the Army. I've been serving for 14 years, very proudly.
Thank you, sir.
I'm one of the few that joined the Army to serve my country. I'm proud to say, not for the money or anything like that. What I would like to retort to is that what these people don't understand is if we pull out of Iraq right now, which is about impossible because of all the stuff that's over there, it'd take us at least a year to pull everything back out of Iraq, then Iraq itself would collapse, and we'd have to go right back over there within a year or so.
And there's a lot more than that that they don't understand. They can't even, if a next guy that calls here, I'm going to ask him, why should we pull?
Wait a minute, Mark, is this guy, did you hear that? Is this guy operating with a mouth full of food or something? Did you just hear that?
Probably.
This is a guy who gets $29 million a year. I won't even chew gum behind the microphone.
No, anyway,
we haven't gotten to the
good
part.
I don't even drink water, and that's rare, but go ahead.
Okay.
What is the imperative of pulling out? What's in it for the United States to pull out? I don't think they have an answer for that other than, well, he's going to bring the troops home. Keep the troops safe, whatever.
Here it comes.
Saving money, perhaps?
It's not possible intellectually to follow these people.
No, it's not. And what's really funny is they never talk to real soldiers. They like to pull these soldiers to come up out of the blue and stop the media.
The phony soldiers.
If you talk to a real soldier, they're proud to serve.
Feel free to scream.
Phony soldiers?
The phony soldiers.
Well, I'll have my soldiers beat up his soldiers, because I've had a lot of veterans on the air. I had that guy with the big biceps that was, doing the I don't knows of Adam Kokesh came on my show. He could beat up just about anybody, my phony soldier. But all right, go ahead.
Well, the phony soldiers. Now, bear in mind, please.
Are they actors? Is that what it is? They're pretending.
No. It's just that if you're a soldier and you're serving your country honorably and you don't agree with dear leader, you're a phony soldier. Now,
right?
Of course, August 19th in the New York Times, there was that op-ed piece that was authored by seven members of the 82nd Airborne. Two of them are dead now. They died in Iraq.
That's right. No, I know.
Those are phony soldiers to Rush Limbaugh.
Yep.
You know, and you know what the fun part is, Mark? He won't apologize.
I don't know if there's any fun part.
No, he won't apologize. Because apologizing is for Harry Reid to do. Apologizing is for Dick Durbin to do. Apologizing is for Democrats to do. This man just got caught
attacking our military.
Yeah. Now, bear in mind, your tax dollars and mine go to make sure that the troops can hear this SOB every day on Armed Forces Radio.
That is true.
So, phony soldiers. Bless his heart, John Kerry came out and responded, Mark.
Good.
He said, this disgusting attack from Rush Limbaugh, cheerleader for the Chicken Hawk wing of the far right, is an insult to American troops. My God, wouldn't you have loved to have heard him talking like that in 2004?
Where was that John Kerry? Was he...
Well, he was...
I'm just wondering where... Cause this is
you
want to
know? You want to know? You really want to know where that John Kerry...
He was hiding behind some Democratic strategist?
Dick Frum.
Yeah, oh God, I hate him.
The professional loser.
He's lost every campaign he's ever done, and people keep hiring him.
He's like the Washington Generals playing the Globetrotters. Kerry said, in a single moment on his show, Limbaugh managed to question the patriotism of men and women in uniform who have put their lives on the line and many who died for his right to sit safely in his air-conditioned studio peddling hate.
Good for him.
Good for you, John Kerry. Let's try it again
sometime.
But you
know what? I haven't heard about either the Rush Limbaugh attack or the Kerry response anywhere in the news. Am I just out of touch?
No. Now, again...
Was it covered in any newspaper? Was it on CNN?
No.
New York Times? Washington Post? I didn't see it there.
If Rush Limbaugh had criticized Lindsay Lohan...
Ha! There you go.
Hey, let's bring Wayne on for a minute. What do you say?
Sure.
All right. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the program.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
We're both having fun.
Is there
Wayne
there?
Pardon?
He who. Your introduction. He who, you know, I don't know. Great radio talk shows. He who.
Yeah.
Mark.
Good to hear from you, Wayne.
How you doing, buddy? Remember me?
I'm doing good.
The guy from the train?
I know exactly who you are.
Listen, I wanted to bring up a couple of things.
Okay.
One thing about the kids' insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Bob mentioned if it was 10 million fetuses.
Yeah.
I believe it was, was it on your old show that you had Russ Weeks?
Yes.
And Russ Weeks was a Republican senator from the state of West Virginia.
Correct.
You know, local senator,
yeah,
state senator.
Sure.
And thank God he got beat in the last election, but I'm really not too proud of his replacement, even though he calls himself a Democrat, but that's another story. Anyway, Bob put the question to this guy, why is it you Republicans fight so hard for fetuses, but once the kids are born, you don't want to give them anything?
And did he answer that question?
Yes, he did. Once they're born, they're someone else's problem.
They're not
That's
my
exactly
responsibility.
That's exactly what he said. That is
right.
Exactly what he said.
So it's his responsibility when they're in the womb and it's attached to the woman. He's in charge of that woman's body
exactly.
when they're there. But
it
once they're out...
It's his responsibility to make sure that that woman bears and gives birth to that child. After that moment occurs, it's somebody else's problem.
You know, that was one of the few honest things I think I've heard a Republican say. I think he really believes that.
And I got to give him credit for that. He was honest.
I do. I give him credit for answering the damn question. I've never heard a Republican answer the question. And he did. And he answered it in the way that he honestly believes. I give him credit for that.
Right, which...
That's how they think.
But, you know,
exactly.
Thank God for his honesty, because that really exposes a son of a bitch as far as I'm concerned.
Wayne, it goes back to something else. It's a way to punish people for having sex. I mean, let's face it.
That's exactly what it is. You did the dirty deed, now suffer the consequences.
Exactly. Suffer for 18 years,
yep.
or 20. You know, you had sex. And listen, they don't even want to teach kids about contraception. So it's not even about having unprotected sex. The idea is sex is wrong. Sex is bad. You should serve a 20-year sentence for having the sex. And so we're not going to force you to have the kid, and then we're not going to take care of the kid because we want you to suffer as you try to feed that kid and give that kid health care, because we don't care about the kid suffering. We want the mother to suffer, all because she had sex when she was 17 years old.
Yeah, and if the child suffers as a consequence, so be it.
So be it. It's all
so
part of punishing that person.
That's exactly right. Now, on another thing, attacking Iran. I mean, you know, you make some valid points. We don't have enough troops to do anything. We don't have enough troops to sustain what we're doing in Iraq.
Right. We have to take them home now.
From everything that I read and understand, troops aren't involved in this attack on Iran. All we need is enough pilots to fly 12 or 1,500 missions, and we've accomplished what we want. And I'm very afraid, that that's exactly what these people are going to do. And, you know, I wish we had Democrats with enough stones to stop it. But apparently after the vote the other day on the Lieberman-Kyle Amendment, we don't. And
now, Wayne, what's your take on the it's kind of curious. The vote was what,
72 to 23 or something?
Yeah, and Obama and McCain were conveniently not present.
Obama, he wasn't there.
McCain didn't.
Well, McCain would have voted for it anyway. I mean, that's obvious.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
But Hillary did.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
And for the life of me, guys, I don't know. I don't know who told her that was a smart vote.
Well, what the Democrats did, and I know I'm always seen as the apologist for Democrats, and to some extent I am. So I'll admit my bias.
I'm proud of you, Mark. I'm stuck in the same situation myself.
I'll admit my bias from the outset. But they did amend that legislation to make clear that it I mean, got clear as mud, but make clear that it's not supposed to be used as authorization for a war in Iran.
And
so,
worded?
I don't know what that means.
How was that worded? I mean, does George
let me see
Bush
if I can find the word
back to Congress to get authorization to bomb?
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's something I wasn't aware of, and
but
I'm
see,
glad
the,
of that.
But the problem with that, guys,
I'll get you the word
is that George Bush doesn't have any intention of asking anybody's permission to bomb Iran, because by virtue of all the bell ringing and saber rattling about the munitions crossing the border and blah 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 and Iranian shaped charges. Because of all that, the casus belli will be, in fact, the things going on in Iraq, and thereby the Bush administration thinks that they will bring it in, this attack on Iran, as a function of the Iraq war resolution.
See, here's the thing, and this may be where I disagree with both of you. If we had a president that I had faith in, if Bill Clinton were president of the United States, okay, and this may be where I disagree with both of you, but I wouldn't mind such an amendment as Hillary voted for. I mean, you could argue about,
I can agree with that.
To say, because what you're saying to Iran is, hey, watch it, you know, don't go out. I don't mind, frankly. I mean, if the authorization to go to war in Iraq had said to Saddam Hussein, you know, it was originally, by the way, suggested by the Democrats, and they weren't the majority, so they couldn't put forward their version. I think it was the 11 some other amendment, but the idea was to read 11 is what it was. It was to say, look, Saddam Hussein, if you don't let the inspectors in, you know, then we threaten the use of force. But the problem was the authorization, you know, he let the inspectors in, and we still had authorization, you know, we still went force. The idea of threatening force reasonably with a reasoned leader who isn't trying to use it as an excuse to go to war, but actually is trying to use, you know, carrots and diplomatic sticks in order to restrain people, I get that. Frankly, North Korea was restrained by Bill Clinton. We signed a deal with carrots and sticks, and he didn't develop nuclear weapons under Bill Clinton's watch. He did do it under George Bush's watch, by the way. Why? I don't know why no one's complaining. How did Bush lose Korea? No one ever says that. But, you know, for Congress to threaten the use of force with a president that I respected and trusted wouldn't be such a terrible thing. The problem is that this president has shown a history of taking such tiny little steps and bringing it a mile.
Exactly.
And I don't know what to do about that.
And therein lies the problem. We don't have a reasonable president.
I know.
You know. And giving this guy anything that...
give him an inch, takes a mile.
We can say is his authority is a bad move. Yep. In my book.
I know.
And I mean, that when you look at that country... I mean, to me, you know, with their youth, and you probably know the statistic.
They're very pro-American. Iranian people are very pro-American. They are more pro-American than the average Persian. Go ahead.
60% of them are under 25?
Yeah.
Right.
And the average Persian is
hope.
Is far more pro-American than, frankly, the average Arab in the region.
Exactly.
Most Iranians don't hate us. They really don't. We're giving them every reason to, but they still don't. Not yet.
And that's the angle, that's the diplomatic angle that we should be working with. We should be working with the youth. You know,
here's a crazy idea, Wayne.
Going to last forever.
Here's a crazy idea, Wayne. Ahmadinejad is just the United States. If George Bush, George Bush is George Bush. Okay, let's forget him. If the president of the United States, a reasonable president, were to say, hey, I want to go to Iran, and I want to talk uncensored to the Iranian people and talk a message of peace, okay?
Yeah.
Iran would be in a real bind, wouldn't they? They'd have to either say, no, we won't let you, we'll censor you, which makes them look really bad, or they'd have to allow it, and then you can speak directly to the Iranian people, and you can say, look, you know, we will give you all this aid. We want you to join in the community of nations. You can have a really strong economy. We want to trade with you. We want, you know, we don't want to do sanctions. Just don't do the nuclear weapons thing, and you will be absolutely back in the community of nations. You know, talk directly over the heads of their leaders to the people of Iran. Now, isn't that a crazy idea? Use speech as a weapon. But I don't expect this
president. I know a candidate that has that idea.
Isn't that no, I don't. But I do.
Kucinich.
Oh, really? Dennis, has he suggested Kucinich. That? Has he suggested? Has he suggested talking directly to the Iranian people?
Know.
I haven't
yes.
heard that.
Yes.
Really?
Put it in
good
directly those words, but he's willing to do that. That's his plan.
It's a great plan. I hadn't heard it. Great minds think alike. We independently came up with the same plan. I didn't know that.
I think he is a great mind. I wished he was in a better position than he's in and was taken more seriously. But, hopefully the next Democratic president will find a very high cabinet position for Dennis Kucinich because
I think there is a place. I think, yeah, a Ministry of Peace. I know that's one of my listeners, Gordon's, favorite ideas. But I don't think it's a bad idea at all. Someone who, you know, kind of like what Karen Hughes is trying and failing to do, but doing it the right way.
Exactly.
I think that would be a great job.
At the end of the day, though, Mark, shouldn't that be the Department of State's job anyway? I mean, isn't the very nature of having a Department of Defense and a Department of State having a diplomatic arm? Isn't it the job of the diplomats to try to forestall war?
You would think.
You would think.
But I'm crazy. I know.
Well, we're all crazy. Lefties.
Yeah. Workers of the world unite. Yeah.
Bob, do your listeners know who Wayne is?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, because Wayne, I believe, is the president of the Head On Radio Network. I don't know what his title is.
Yeah, CEO.
CEO? This is an important guy on the phone, folks. This is our fearless leader right here.
I like founder better. That's the one I like.
Okay, because I don't know that most people...
That's up to you guys, but... Anyway, listen, I'm mopping the floor, making spaghetti, and talking to you guys... I'm going to let you guys continue.
Don't screw up. Next thing you know, you'll be mopping the floor with the spaghetti, and that's never good.
Yeah, no, it's not. It looks a lot like a mop, you know.
Well, see, you get my point.
Right. All right, guys, have a good evening. I'll be listening, man.
Take care, Wayne.
Thanks, right. Wayne.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And I don't know if there's anybody on this line, Mark, but let's find out.
Okay.
Anybody there?
Yep, it's me again.
Oh, okay. Hi, Susan.
Hello, you again.
Yeah. You mentioned, the reason I called back is you mentioned the right-wingers going on and on about we can't leave, there'd be a bloodbath.
Right. There already is one.
Can I quote three paragraphs of an editorial?
Sure.
In Iraq, there are Kurds, the Sunni, and the Shia. Even if Saddam Hussein had died a natural death, a civil war would still have broken out. The ethnic cleansing would have started just as is going on now. The Sunni and Shia would immediately start killing each other. I cannot stress this enough. As long as this war is, the argument that we cannot leave because there would be a bloodbath is a false one. Even if we had stayed out of Iraq and Saddam had died of natural causes, the bloodbath would still occur.
You know, Sue, it's interesting
Yugoslavia.
Oh,
Yugoslavia, or look at the Soviet Union would be another example where you had, but what's interesting about the argument that if we leave, it's a bloodbath, is people, it's a wonderful little tautology in logic, a logical fallacy. It's, you know, don't ask us why we're going in. Don't ask us why we're going in. We're going to lie about going in. Okay, now that we're there, if we leave, it's a huge mess. It's like someone barging into your home. Like, don't question me, don't question me, don't question me. Okay, now that I'm in your home, hey, if I leave, boy, you're in trouble. It's you know, hey, sorry. and you're absolutely right. Anytime you have a country of various tribes and ethnic groups that don't get along, whether it be religious or tribal or ethnic or whatever, and you have a brutal dictator that keeps them all together by mere force, and that dictator goes, whether it's Tito in Yugoslavia, the Soviet Union, or anybody else, that's what happens. And it only ends when what happened, frankly, in Yugoslavia happens, when you get
partition.
Something like the Dayton Peace Accords, where people sign and they have new boundaries, and it's partitioned. And I disagree with a lot of things that Joe Biden says, but on that one, he's always been right. He's always been right about
Iraq
that.
Will balkanize itself at some point in time.
Exactly. Well, they're going to fight each other, and they're going to draw boundaries. It'll probably be like India and Pakistan, which is actually the same thing. Remember, they were all one country under British
and
Indian rule.
And they split apart. The minute they got loose from Britain, they split.
Right. And they split. And you actually had more than 20 million Hindus leave what became Pakistan and move to India. You had more than 20 million Muslims move from what became India into Pakistan. They fought in Kashmir. The line now is called the line of control. It's no magic line. It's just where the ceasefire is. And despite the fact that they both are nuclear armed powers that scream at each other a lot, they've actually been, except for Kashmir, relatively peaceful. I mean, I'm in the scheme of things, there haven't been a lot of Indians and Pakistanis killing each other in the last, say, 30 years.
Yeah,
and
this pattern goes back all the way back to Genghis Khan.
Of course it does. Listen, there's a reason why European boundaries are not straight lines. Okay?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a very simple thing. The French fought the Germans are here, and the French are there, and the Italians are there, and they don't have straight lines in Europe because they fought for every inch of it, and they basically. Generally, the European boundaries are along ethnic lines. If you speak French,
exactly.
You're in France. You know, that's how it happens. It's not like
Poland,
Europeans
Poland.
Are so much superior to the Arabs or whatever. Everywhere in the world, it's like that.
There are some exceptions to that, Mark. Whether you call Gdansk or Danzig, whether you call Szczecin, and what's
no,
the
but
German
that, but
name
the, but
for
Bob,
it?
No, Bob, all the Germans that lived there were kicked out by Poland. They were kicked out. I'm not after World War II. They were uprooted. The Volksdeutsch. Not that I'm that sympathetic to the Germans of World War II, but they were millions uprooted and sent back to Germany. And that way, there's ethnic lines. That's just a historical fact. I mean, it's not a pretty fact.
That's why
it's Gdansk and not Danzig anymore, because there are not many Germans left.
True enough.
It's just the only way that the ethnic wars stop sometimes. You split them up and you draw boundaries.
Well, you know, and see...
The whole thing with Iraq is would have happened.
Absolutely.
The only thing is we went in, we kicked over the anthill, and so it happened sooner. It would have happened sooner or later.
And we took ownership of it.
Saddam Hussein was not immortal.
No, but...
The minute he died, that was all she wrote.
But when we did it, we took ownership of it. And you know what? The so-called pottery barn rule does apply. We broke it. We're on the hook for it.
I've even suggested ways to deal with us being on the hook for it. I mean, I do have sympathy with the people in Iraq who have risked their lives to help America, and there are some of them. And that's why I think that, again, it would require a good president and someone good at the State Department. But I would think with an independent Kurdish state, you could get them to accept a lot of the refugees that helped America, because the Kurds are pro-American anyway, and they haven't had an independent state in several hundred years.
They can come here.
Well, that's true, too. I think they'd rather stay there.
Yeah,
I mean, I think they'd rather move a few hundred miles than a few tens of thousands of miles, I would think.
But if the alternative is a horrible death,
Oh, yeah, we should take them in, just like we should have taken in the Vietnamese boat people. We caused it.
Yeah. But, yeah, this situation was going to happen. That country was basically a flawed piece of glass that the slightest tap would fracture.
It goes so far back... If you watch the great movie Lawrence of Arabia, the character that is played by Alec Guinness, who is Prince Faisal, he becomes King Faisal, and he becomes King Faisal of Iraq. And it is that Hashemite family that was deposed. The 1940s? Was it post World War II, Mark?
What would happen, the Hashemites supported the British during World War II, and so
right.
They were rewarded. They were supposed to be rewarded by giving two brothers, one Saudi Arabia and one Iraq. That was the plan. Then the Saudis got rid of one guy, and that's why, in fact, that's why they carved up what was then Palestine and gave the eastern four-fifths of it, the eastern 80%, into a new country called Jordan, which had never existed
before. Or Trans-Jordan, yeah.
It was Trans-Jordan, that's exactly right. It wasn't called Jordan mm-hmm. until they invaded the West Bank and crossed the Jordan. But and they gave one of those brothers, Jordan, when he got kicked out of Saudi Arabia, which he must have seen as a terrible, terrible booby prize. I mean, Jordan is it's not much of a country. You know, it's not whether it's natural resources or size or anything else.
And again,
else.
We mentioned this a couple of nights ago. There was the political backstabbing that went on with the American support for the House of Ibn Saud.
We are
the manufacturers of our own problems. If you recall, or if you saw that great, it was probably the single greatest satire piece I've ever seen on The Daily Show. America to the rescue in the Middle East. and in rare form, John Stewart points out that every time we've done anything over there, we've screwed up, and it goes back generations. You know, from the and he never even he didn't even get to the House of Ibn Saud, and he didn't get to Mohammad Mossadegh. But you know, I find it interesting that the Iranian people still maintain some decent feelings for us now. In light of the fact of what we have done to their country and to their people.
Yeah, I mean, we trained the SAVAK. We trained the secret police of the Shah.
It's amazing, CIA miracle, did. Frankly. Anyway, I just wanted to, throw that little piece of information in there. So I will let you go and
other
callers.
That was a great editorial. Thank you, Susan.
Well, I'll let you know how it comes out. I'm in the middle of writing it.
Okay, later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
I got to go soon too, Bob.
Yeah, you do. So I was going to say it's probably time to let you roll on. Are you doing stuff tonight?
I am, but I can hang on another 5 minutes or so if you've got something.
I think we've gone from pillar to post this evening, and that's always the fun part of our conversations, Mark, is that you are an adept, as am I, at.
We can talk about anything.
It's our job. You got to know a little bit about everything, and we've got an advantage on the right wingers because, after all, we're not doing this with a belly full of OxyContin.
That's true.
You know, when there was that one little piece, and I just wanted to remark on this before you roll on and I move on to other things. That caller calls in at the beginning of the Limbaugh thing, and he says, I'm in the active duty military. And Rush says, thank you for your service.
Right, right, right.
Now, here's,
unlike the phony people.
Well, yeah, here's a guy, I guess Rush really is grateful. But if he had any decency about him, he should probably be grateful to the people at the Vietnam Wall, much as George W. Bush should be. Because if you recall, Rush Limbaugh was ineligible for draft service because of a little something called a pilonidal cyst on his backside.
Right, right. Well, it was backside is is a euphemism.
Well, I'm trying to take into account that there might be some little kiddies in the room.
Let's just say he has an extremely large backside, all right. Well placed. I'll stop there. I that's too much already. It's just the thought of his backside is starting to be nauseous.
I know. It'll put you off dinner. So you know, as you go and prepare for what's going on in the rest of your evening. I hope you enjoyed your time here because it is certainly always a blast, Mark.
Well, I always appreciate it. I love being talking with you, and I love being on the Inside Scoop and being on the Head On Radio Network. And folks, if ever you disagree with me, I'm happy to have you call in and tell me what you think. I'll see you all next week.
All right, take care, Mark.
All right. Take care of you too, Bob.
Bye now. Mark Levine, host of the Radio Inside Scoop, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on the Horn. So, you know, we've been all over the place, and yet we haven't covered it all yet. Because, as Eric Bollert said a couple of nights ago on the program, the thing with O'Reilly is getting some legs. And apparently it's getting under his skin in a big, big way. witnessed this little, and we'll stop along the way and just sort of cuss and discuss and confabulate about it, but witnessed this from, what day was it? Let me check real quick. Hold on. Let's see. It was his radio show, and it was in regard to the stuff that we talked about Tuesday, and this was yesterday. This was yesterday on O'Reilly's radio show. We're having an impact. You, me, others like us, who are tired of this crap, are giving life to this in your blogging, in your phone calls, in your conversations on this network or calls to other liberal talk hosts, in your emails to more mainstream so-called media outlets, whether it be CNN, CBS, ABC, NBC, you know, yada, yada, yada. You're having an impact. And apparently, you're making poor Bill O'Reilly just a little bit more insane than he already was to begin with.
Okay, we're talking about the controversy surrounding my remarks to Juan Williams and Lise Wheel, who's here right now. We were dissecting why racism exists on the white end of the spectrum. We pinpointed the fear factor, demonstrated my grandmother as being a big example of that, and then went into a discourse that white America is not that different from black America. In fact, there is very little difference in the mainstream of it now. As Dr. Hill pointed out, the circumstances are different, but not the lifestyle and not the attitude. That most African Americans are not gangsta rappers, they don't do this, and in the course of an hour conversation, we illustrated that, and then selective sentences were taken out of that hour conversation, and by Media Matters, a vicious, vile outfit, far left.
Yeah, vicious and vile. They took him out of context, everybody. I mean, you heard it. I took him out of context. I did. If you went back to the archives from a couple of nights ago, you'll notice that I chopped up all that audio from his show on the 19th and made him actually say, "I hate Jesus and I eat babies for dinner. And I ate them at Sylvia's in Harlem." We took him all out of context. But Lord God, is there nobody there who can explain to Bill O'Reilly something that my wife taught me about a long time ago? It's called the first law of wholes. The first law of wholes. And the first law of wholes says, when you're in one, stop digging. Because the hole only gets deeper. You know, the thing for Bill O'Reilly to do to manage all of this is to come out and say, you know, this is the talk radio program. It's unscripted, and my mouth is going for 3 hours a day. And once in a while, I'm going to open my mouth, and bats are going to fly out. You know, I'll tell you that. I've done it before. And, you know, the nights or days when you do that, those are the shows when it's over, you just sort of curl up into a fetal ball in the corner and suck your thumb for a while. And, how did I say that? That's how you deal with it. But the thing is, O'Reilly can't deal with it that way because he honestly believes that. He did it again in this clip. Did you hear that? There's very little difference in the mainstream of it now. As Dr. Hill pointed out, the circumstances are different, but not the lifestyle and not the attitude that most African Americans are not gangster rappers. They don't do this. And in the course of an hour conversation, we illustrated that, and then selective sentences were taken out of the hour conversation. Either you said it, O'Reilly, or you didn't. It's really, really that simple. Did you say that Sylvia's was just like any other restaurant in New York City, only it's run by blacks? Did you say that, O'Reilly? Yes, Bill, you said that. because you're a moron, and you can't back off of it because you really are surprised that you walked into Sylvia's. And you weren't met by some gangster rapper who said, MF-er, let me show you to your table. Because in your world, Bill O'Reilly, black people are scary. They're frightening. Jesus, Jesus. But it, you know, it goes on. Let's enjoy this a little bit more. Come on. Okay, we'll back up and try to catch the whole thing. There's a little bit of a gap in here. Let me see if I can... Boy, I tell you, I can do a lot of things on the fly here on this radio show. I'm just that good. Here we go.
And by Media Matters, a vicious vile outfit, far left, and then used to try to brand me as a racist. Isn't that nice?
No, huh? Bill, wait a minute. Bill, you moron. Nobody's trying to brand you as a racist. Okay? Within the technical textbook definition of racism, that's clan behavior. Racism is believing that your children ought not go to school with African-American children because white children are inherently better, more human than African-American children, and that somehow there will be a negative impact and yada, 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 yada. That's racism. What you are, Bill O'Reilly, very plainly, very simply, Bill O'Reilly, you are a bigot. As plain as day, a bigot. Could it be any easier to comprehend? So let's go back and let's make sure, you know, while he's claiming that he's being called a racist, which he's not, he's a bigot. What about the name-calling attack on Media Matters, and, you know, I guess by extension, although he doesn't know I exist, on me and those of us who share our time here at the Horn?
And by Media Matters, a vicious, vile outfit, far left, and then used to try to brand me as a racist. Isn't that nice? Huh? Isn't that nice?
Very
yeah.
Nice.
And then
don't
CNN,
suck your teeth
course,
on the air, Bill.
It because of ratings reasons, and they got killed too, by the way.
And the fallout is that no white person is going to want to bring up any kind of
yeah.
racial
well,
issue at all in this country.
It's the Joe Biden, Barack Obama discussion all over again.
Oh, for the love of God. You want a discussion on race? Here, I got a discussion on race. It's not getting a lot of press out there. There's a lawsuit going on in New York City. Okay? And that lawsuit involves, and I'm sure we've got a couple of, I know we've got a couple of listeners who are big Knicks fans. Mitch, it's got to just be making you sick. Lawsuit concerns a woman who was an executive with the New York Knicks basketball organization. And she says that she was, and, you know, when she was hired at $250,000 a year, something like that. In a couple of years' time, she was making $600,000 a year. So, you know, you really can't, the Knicks can't make the argument that, you know, she really, really did a terrible job. That's why they upped her pay by $400,000 a year. No, can't do that. But it comes out, she files a sexual discrimination lawsuit. And they start having to interview players and executives of the team. One of those executives is Isaiah Thomas. Okay? Great, great, great basketball player. Zeke, is that what they called him? Zeke? In the day? And Isaiah Thomas is deposed or put under oath. Maybe it's on the stand he says this. I'm not for sure. I'm not entirely up to speed on this issue. Although, you know, I'd like to be. I've got enough to be horrified. So they ask him about the use of the word bitch. And I don't much care for that word myself. I usually castigate myself when I catch myself using it. because there is a sexual connotation to it that is utterly repugnant to me. But they ask Isaiah Thomas about the use of the word bitch. And he explains that he is offended. He is offended when he hears a white man use the word bitch to refer to a woman. But that for him, a black man using the word bitch is a different matter entirely. Yeah, I mean, A, he said this either on the stand or in deposition, so he basically hung his own company out to dry, the New York Knicks, because he's helped this woman prove her case. And secondly, he gives ammunition to the likes of a Bill O'Reilly, or a Savage, or a Hannity, or a Limbaugh. You know, all of these bigots. You know, we joke and carry on and kid about the Klan and so forth. I don't think any of those people are members of the Klan. But you don't have to be a member of the Klan to be a bigot. Just a nasty, because a bigot, being a bigot sort of proves your ignorance, because the bigotry comes from a center that is nothing but ignorance. But, you know, he claims that, you know, because he said that he was surprised that Sylvia's was a decent restaurant, even though it was owned by black people, that somehow that's going to prevent the rest of America from having important discussions on race. And I despise this kind of conduct. I despise it. That's not going to prevent a discussion on race. Hey, look, Bill, you're engendering a discussion on race, because you're proving that we still have miles and miles and, Lord God, Billy Bob, miles to go. And that maybe still another generation of Americans has to die off, your generation, Bill O'Reilly, before we ever get to a point where we can start having a meaningful dialogue about racial issues and racial equality in this country without some idiot like Bill O popping up and declaring how surprised he was that the single most well-known soul food restaurant in the world was adequately, properly, and well-run, even though it was run by black people. Why this man is not being run off the air, I do not know.
Let's go to Valerie in Alton, Illinois. Hi, Valerie. How you doing?
I'm doing great today, Bill. I listen to you every day on the radio,
Thank you.
I watch your television show. I'm an African-American, 38 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they selected phrases to make you sound that way.
Of course.
Because when I heard it on the radio this morning, I said, there's no way Bill O'Reilly meant what they're trying to paint here.
Oh, so now we are responsible for what he meant. You got that? We are responsible for what he meant. He said he was surprised that the restaurant was just like any other restaurant in New York City, even though it was run by black people, but he didn't mean that. And we're responsible for what he meant to say and not his actual words. Jesus, do you remember the impeachment and tormenting and torturing and trailing and chasing after Bill Clinton's zipper? Do you remember that? Do you remember right-wingers out there saying words mean things? I do. The words themselves have meanings independent of the intent of the speaker. That's what that means. But not for a right winger. No apology from O'Reilly. And I guarantee you there will be no apology from Flush Flimball. No matter what John Kerry says. And God knows, John Kerry is right. This disgusting attack from Rush Limbaugh, cheerleader for the Chicken Hawk wing of the far right, is an insult to American troops. In a single moment on his show, Limbaugh managed to question the patriotism of men and women in uniform who have put their lives on the line and many who died for his right to sit safely in his air-conditioned studio peddling hate. He is an embarrassment to his party, and I expect the Republicans who flock to his microphone will now condemn this indefensible statement. John Kerry, you are an incurable optimist. They will not condemn the statement. There will be no debates on the floor of the United States Senate, which Democrats control and still somehow manage to have to deal with a debate over a move-on newspaper ad. There will be no Senate debates, and there will be no sense of the Senate resolutions condemning Flush Flimbaugh, because the Republicans won't allow the Democratic majority to do so. And that, I think, that concept, the Republicans will not allow the Democratic majority to do so, I think that's going to be a bit of a topic as we wander into the third hour of the program. Is that all right with you? I hope so. Because while it's something we do talk about from time to time, it would appear to be something that we have to keep talking about. Your thoughts are welcome. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. Or on your nickel, 304-658-5453. Email to Bob at headonradio.com. Any way you want to contact the show. Your thoughts in the chat room, too. I'm a multitasking talk host. I monitor that as well. All of this right here on the network you help make go. Your voice, America's liberal voice, The Horn. I am dry in the long, hot day. Lost and lonely every way. Got the flats all around, sky up above. Yes, I need a
This is the Quality News Network. In Myanmar, government forces with automatic weapons opened fire on crowds of unarmed pro-democracy demonstrators. State radio says at least 9 people were killed. Troops fired on peaceful crowds in 4 areas of Yangon. Western diplomats and tourists also witnessed troops beating protesters. This is just the second day of the regime's crackdown there. The bloodshed began overnight as government military forces raided several monasteries, beating monks and arresting more than 100. Buddhist monks are seen as leaders of the movement. In response to the military's actions, the U.S. will impose economic sanctions against Myanmar. The U.S. Treasury Department will freeze assets of the 14 military officials who have led that crackdown. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says he's inclined to recommend approving an Army proposal to accelerate the expansion of active duty forces. Close to $3 billion extra would need to be spent to carry out the plan, and recruiting would need to pick up, but Gates said standards would not be lowered. According to a congressional investigation, the private security company Blackwater USA caused a battle in Iraq in 2004 that killed 4 of its guards in Fallujah. The report found that the security guards were unprepared to go into the insurgent stronghold. In Iraq, the country's vice president, a Sunni, met with a top Shiite cleric. They're trying to agree on political reforms that would unify the country and end the violence. It's now reported that a wave of bombings and shootings in Iraq yesterday killed more than 50 people. Al-Qaeda has promised a new offensive during the current holy month of Ramadan. NBC News reports that last month a U.S. and Afghan military mission in Tora Bora almost captured a high-value target believed to possibly be Osama bin Laden. The operation took place over 3 days and nights and left dozens of al-Qaeda and Taliban members dead. In Louisiana, a 17-year-old accused in the Gina 6 case is now free. Michael Bell was released after the prosecutor in the case decided not to challenge the ruling that sent the case to juvenile court, as opposed to trying the 17-year-old as an adult. President Bush signed legislation today that increases the amount of tuition assistance available to poor and middle-class students. You're listening to Quality News Network.
Remember when the name on the door said it all? In today's world, it's the website that defines a company's image. For better or worse, a company's presence on the internet is a vital factor in how it keeps existing customers and attracts new clients. Byte Technology of Monterey is a leader in a new approach to web design. Byte designs a new site based on the mission, purpose, character, and indeed the energy of their clients. Byte is particularly successful in presenting their clients' name to the global internet community because they approach the design with a clear, defined process. By fully understanding the client's business, motivation, and operation, they are able to translate the company's critical values into the new website. In addition to original design, Byte works with clients to update their website to reflect changes in target markets, products and services, and the business climate. Byte Technology. See what they're about at byte-technology.com or call 831-656-9178.
Tropical Storm Lorenzo is forming off of Mexico's Gulf Coast. The U.S. National Hurricane Center says the tropical depression's getting stronger with top winds of up to 60 miles an hour. NASA launched the Dawn probe today, sending the spacecraft on a decade-long trek to meet up with an asteroid and a dwarf planet 3 billion miles away. They hope the close encounters will reveal some of the secrets of the early solar system. Walmart is expanding its $4 a month generic prescription drug plan. About 30 new drugs, which cover glaucoma, attention deficit disorder, and other conditions, are now included. The Commerce Department reports that in August, new home sales fell by 8.3%. It's the lowest level in 7 years. Microsoft launched improvements to its search engine, Live Search, in an effort to grab some of Google's users. Last month, Google had 57% of the U.S. market, while Microsoft had 11%. Gold is trading at $739.90 an ounce. That's up $4.40. Light Sweet Crude is trading at $82.88. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 35 points at 13,912. The NASDAQ was up 11 and the S&P up 6. There is more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
Where? Where, Bob? There, Bob. There, Castle. Oh, this has been a fun night. Kind of makes up for missing prayer meeting last night, doesn't it? Or at least I hope it does for you. Let's see. Let's finish up O'Reilly before we go into the philosophical inquiry as to what the hell is wrong with the United States Senate, and more particularly the Democratic majority therein. Okay, yeah, let's pick up. Remember, Falafel Boy was talking to a caller who said, "I'm African American, and I think they're trying to make you didn't mean what you said, now did you?" God Almighty.
However, had I not watched your show every night and listened to your radio station every day, I probably would have had a different opinion.
That's right.
I probably would have felt upset about it also.
And that was the strategy, Valerie. Get the people who don't know O'Reilly, demonize him, and that has been the strategy for the past.
Oh, stop it, Bill. We know you. We know who you are, the people who don't know O'Reilly. We know O'Reilly. We've heard the filth flow out of your mouth for years now, for the love of God.
You know, 5-10 years. But I appreciate your honesty, and I appreciate you listening and calling and telling me, Matt. But that is the strategy on the far left. The far left knows I'm kicking their butt.
Huh? Him and his 80-year-old demographic? Yeah, you keep telling yourself that, Bill.
I'm hammering them. Culture Warrior, huge success. Goes into their precincts, exposes them. There is no greater danger to the far left in America than Bill O'Reilly.
Far left. I just love that phrase, far left. Somebody care to define the far left for me? I guess I'm on the far left because I'm a little bit pissed off because the guy that he thinks is the neatest thing since sliced bread is taking away my kids' health care coverage. Yeah, I'm on the far left, all right. There I am, on the far left. You know, a little bit upset about the fact that there's a right-wing organization, far right-wing organization out there that's attacking the jobs of auto workers who build American cars here, you know, in America. Far left, that's me. Far left, you know, because I object to spending a couple of trillion dollars destroying a country that never did anything to us. Yeah, that's me. Far left. Yeah, keep telling yourself, Bill.
I am the greatest danger. I am their worst nightmare. And they are going to do anything and everything to destroy me. Or try to. And it's a war. It is a war.
Really, Bill? It's a war? They're coming after you with the guns now? You've got to go out with armed bodyguards. Maybe you've got yourself some Blackwater thugs to walk with you when you go down to your limousine to be taken uptown or downtown or I don't know my New York City geography. I'm sorry, to Sylvia's in Harlem where you can be surprised that it's a nice restaurant even though black people run it. Really, Bill? Is it a war? I thought you said there weren't anybody. There wasn't anybody at Sylvia's MF or I want some more MF and T. I thought you said that, Bill. Didn't you say that, buddy? It's a war. You know, his buddy John Gibson has the war on Christmas. Now Bill O'Reilly's just taking it the next step and, you know, sexing it up a little bit. It's a direct war on Bill.
Savannah, Georgia. Donna, go.
Hey, Bill. How are you?
Good.
I wanted to talk to you about the biggest problem I have is media outlets using an entire race of people to try to harm Fox News and one of Fox News's...
What? You know what? I think it may actually be necessary in order to cover this kind of stuff to eat a handful or two of OxyContin. Using an entire race of people to attack poor, bedraggled Fox News. Yeah. How's that working out?
Employees or spokesmen. And I don't hear the outrage in that. I don't hear the outrage from African Americans that they get used a lot.
Yeah, you're right, but I don't think they know.
I don't think they know, you know, seeing how they're all shiftless and everything. I don't think they know.
I don't think they know. But it's an excellent point you're making, Donna. If you are for border security, you are anti-Hispanic. If you are against gay marriage, you are a homophobe. If you...
Well, if the shoe fits, Bill, you know...
You say... anything that departs from the far-left orthodoxy, they will demonize you as a bigot. That is the strategy. And when CNN and NBC News buys into the strategy and is a carrier of it, then you have what you have right now in America, a corrupt media. And
well, the media are corrupt. The biggest part of the media that are corrupt happens to, you know, sign your paycheck every week there, Bill, buddy. How about me? I'm non-corrupt media. I just loathe the stuff that pours out of the settlings between your ears that pass for brains, Bill. Orthodoxy? I mean, what is he doing Michael Savage's shtick now? Next thing out of his mouth is going to be gay mafia. Oh, for pity's sakes.
That's why this is good. Because the more exposure we can get to this, the more black Americans we can reach, Donna, and say to them, they're using you. The far left is using you here.
The far left is using you. You know, there's not a lot of difference between the statement here. You know, they're being used, but I don't think they know it. Isn't that a little bit like when Ron Paul said some years back that only about 5% of African Americans are politically sensible? Isn't that roughly the same thing? And yeah, Ron Paul did. Merciful God. First law of holes there, Billo. When you're in one, buddy, stop digging. Stop digging. But it gets better. It gets better. There's more. Billo had on his program a woman by the name of Tammy Bruce. She's a Fox News contributor. And again, they got nothing. They got to talk about this because they certainly can't talk about the successes in Iraq. You know, they're forever saying that the liberal media won't talk about the good things happening in Iraq. Hey, Bill, buddy, you got an hour a night on the TV. You got 3 hours a day on the radio. Why are you talking about you? Why aren't you talking about the good things happening in Iraq? But no, they got to talk about this.
Impact segment tonight. The far left internet sites are in the business to smear any and all commentators who not toe the liberal line. In the past year, Media Matters has personally attacked me 109 times. Glenn Beck has been smeared 92 times. Rush Limbaugh 87 times. And Sean Hannity 75 times.
Now, wait, sounds like they're doing their job, doesn't it? Yeah, and again, what constitutes a smear with these people? It is apparently smearing, and this is, you know, talking about pictures, but this is off of his video, and he's got a graphic up there that says, Media Matters smearing conservatives. Smearing. Doesn't the definition of smear imply that there's something unfair about it? That maybe you're making stuff up like they do. You know, like Hillary refused to meet with the Gold Star Mothers, that smear that was made up and had no truth to it. Or maybe the smear about John Kerry not really deserving his medals, even though he's walking around to this day with shrapnel in his ass, that smear. Or hey, let's take the long historical view. How about the Nixon White House smear of Edmund Muskie and the so-called Canuck letter? An absolute fabrication, a fraud. How about that smear? That's a smear. It's not a smear when you take the words and you don't monkey with them and you don't chop them and you don't take it out to make things say they don't say. You just play the whole damn soundbite. I mean, the one the other night from O'Reilly where he was talking about being at Sylvia's, that was a 4-minute and 41-second soundbite. Okay? It wasn't the ubiquitous 15-second soundbite. It was 4 minutes and 41 seconds long. And it wasn't chopped up. And it wasn't taken out of context. There was 4 minutes and 41 seconds of context there. If you go to MediaMatters.org, there's a transcript of it. They are most meticulous, these folks at Media Matters, in making absolutely gosh darn certain that they cannot be accused of doing the same filthy, sleazy things that the right wing does, in fact, do to liberals and progressives and Democrats and other various and sundry decent human beings. The telling fact out of this, however, is that even though Media Matters is doing it right, still, people, filthy, verminous swine like Bill O'Reilly, claim that they are anyway, because, in fact, O'Reilly wouldn't know the truth if it came up and shook his hand.
Not one liberal radio commentator has been smeared by Media Matters. Joining us now from Los Angeles, radio talk show star Tammy Bruce, who's also been attacked by that smear factory. Okay. Commentators are attacked by this. We know.
Now, I'm not just playing this to kill time. There's going to be a phrase used, and I probably should have played this while I had Mark on the air with me. And it's another one of those cases of, you know, them accusing us of doing something that they, in fact, are much more adept and likely to do.
Oh, this, we ignore it most of the time until CNN or another, what they call mainstream media outlet, picks it up. But some people say, look, O'Reilly, you should just ignore this. You shouldn't do anything about it. I'm attacking it, obviously. How do you see it?
Well, it is actually very serious. And the real story is, and I think those of us who are in the public eye have got to really call attention to the real story, which is the fact that a Gestapo has emerged in America. If you'll
ding,
notice,
ding, 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 ding. A what? A what?
Story, which is the fact that a Gestapo has emerged in America. If you'll notice, the attacks on you mirror the attacks on General Petraeus. And you have a media Gestapo in Media Matters, and then you have a political Gestapo in MoveOn.org.
Wow. Now, see, if Dick Durbin stands up on the floor of the United States Senate and points out some torture and interrogation tactics that are reminiscent of, say, you know, the Gestapo, you know, the real live Gestapo, the guys with the flashy black uniforms and the peaked hats with the skull and crossbones on them. If Dick Durbin does that, he has to apologize on the floor of the Senate because O'Reilly does, in fact, smear him for days on end, and Limbaugh smears him for days on end, accusing him of saying things that he never said. He didn't say the military were Nazis. Dick Durbin didn't. No, 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 no. He said, if you saw these tactics and you didn't know who was doing them in the first place, you would think it was being done by the Nazis or the Soviets. But he had to apologize on the floor of the Senate. Because all across the fruited plain, there is a right-wing attack machine that is on a hair trigger and always at the ready. So finally, we get a little bit of something going out there in the form of Media Matters, in the form of John Podesta's Center for American Progress, that begins to call these lying bastards on what they do. And it's a smear machine. It's a smear factory. And so, but that's not good enough. It's not good enough to just make up a lie and call them a smear factory. You got to take this goofball Tammy Bruce, and she says it's Gestapo tactics. No, it's not even the tactics. Yeah, I mean, there's the quote. A Gestapo has emerged in America. If you'll notice, the attacks on you mirror the attacks on General Petraeus. And you have a media Gestapo in Media Matters, and then you have the political Gestapo in MoveOn.org. Dear God. Where's the Anti-Defamation League? Please, somebody, call them, tell them, get hold of them. How demeaning is this to the several thousands of people in America who still walk around with tattoos on their arms that are numbers, where their very names were taken away from them and they were reduced to being nothing but a number, nothing but ink on an arm as they waited for their day in the oven. And this twit, this Tammy Bruce, equates a group of people who herded millions of human beings into gas chambers, who made them kneel by pits that were filled with lime and machine gunned them and shot them in the backs of their heads, who carted them out in the dark and still of the night, babes in arms suckling at their mother's breast, to be murdered because of their religion and because of their race. And this hateful twit compares that to doing nothing more than taping a radio show and playing it back for the rest of the American people who don't really know, because they're far too busy or far too decent to listen to these programs, who don't really know the kind of hate and filth and invective that is being poured out via the public airwaves, the airwaves that the public own. And suddenly that is the moral equivalent of the murder of 6 million innocent human beings.
And the intention is the same. It is to smear an individual without...
Sorry, honey. The Gestapo didn't smear people. The Gestapo murdered people. You know, I said I felt guilty sometimes for using the word bitch. Well, I'm not going to use the word bitch.
Any basis in reality without any fairness in an attempt to make that person demonized so that they will not be listened to. It is a very serious dynamic. Now, the issues involved are almost irrelevant because the truth of the matter is no matter what is said, no matter what is done, the Gestapo will find a way to move in some kind of element of demonization, especially as we move into this election year.
I don't know if I've got the stomach to play very much more of this. Now, what she calls herself, this Tammy Bruce, is an openly gay, pro-choice, gun-owning, pro-death penalty, voted for President Bush authentic feminist. The intention is to smear an individual without any basis in reality, without any fairness. Huh. Could have fooled me. I thought is O'Reilly saying now that that wasn't really him on the tape? Is it unfair to quote him? I suppose so. I hate leaving people on hold, so let's go to the phones and see what's going on. Hey, who have I got?
Robert in Japan. How you doing?
Hey, Robert. How are you, my friend? I'm sorry to keep you waiting so long.
Oh, no sweat. No sweat. I still got the ear infection. You know, antibiotics still ain't working, but what else is new?
Well, I'm still finishing my course, too.
Yeah.
And I still get a little loopy.
I still hear a lot of people here in Japan have more and more of these kind of problems. It's kind of surprising me. So, maybe not. I did end up watching Al Gore's movie, it finally made its way over here, The Inconvenient Truth, and it was kind of hair-raising in a way.
How so?
Well, it did point out that the last ice age was started when the ice dam from the Great Lakes broke and all that fresh water went into the Atlantic Ocean and it stopped the Gulf Stream. And then 10 years later, the ice age began. So he said with the polar ice melting and if there's more ice, fresh water that gets into the Atlantic Ocean, the Gulf Stream will stop and then the fun starts.
Right. And I've heard that. I'm aware of that theory. But people are more receptive in Japan to the idea of global warming, are they not? I mean, they're not the big science deniers that we have here.
Yeah, I mean, that's where the Kyoto Protocol started. But with the overall mentality of the people, it still hasn't quite kicked in like in Britain, where you actually have a lot more consciousness about carbon trading and stuff. But what else is new? Just wanted to talk about the last CNN terror alert that I watched last night.
Oh, dear.
Did you hear about that one?
No, I didn't.
They talked about, the electrical grid that terrorists may bomb and knock out generators with their computers. And this would be widespread, like over an entire area, like the Midwest. And the generators would be down for 3 months. And then get this. The Iranians have the same type of generators. And the Iranians have computers. And so they could hack into the computers and destroy the electrical grid for an entire region. And, you know, so that was the latest terror alert. So I'm getting the pieces out now. So it's rather brilliant and it's evil. Instead of just bombing a city, you just knock out the electrical grid for 3 months. And within about a week, you have people scavenging, looting. And within 2 weeks, you need martial law, right?
Sure. Oh, dear. But, you know, I would...
And that way you don't... Yeah.
But you know, you watch this stuff, Robert, and you've got some sense about you, so you know how to respond to it. But is that CNN... I mean, that's obviously CNN that's being played in Japan. I would be curious...
No, this is Morning America, I mean, which I watch at night, you know, and I just turn it on just to kill some time, and so...
But are others... I mean... if you were to show something like that to one of your Japanese colleagues, would they give it any credence, Robert?
Oh yeah, I mean everybody would believe it hook, line, and sinker. Now, whether they, you know, would believe the Iranians did it, you know, is another thing to think about. But, you know, it's like how we got stopped. It's like how we stopped talking about Afghanistan. They invaded Iraq. And so they're tired of hearing about Iraq, so they're going to invade Iran. So gets us to shut up talking about Iraq, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's sort of a manifestation of a neocon attention deficit disorder. Can't keep our eyes on, you know, we're bored with Afghanistan. Iraq's no fun anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's time to go break something else.
Yeah. But, yeah, I see this much more of a plausible incident happening because it's easier to do. A whole lot of people don't necessarily die from it, except those in hospitals or prenatal cares or, you know, those on respirators. So I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. And they would keep it out, knocked out for 3 months. And, I mean, you're talking about society reverting back to 100 years ago when you knocked out the electrical grid. Because, you know, there's no fresh water. People are scavenging through the forest to find food. And, you know, begging Republicans to save them, save them, save them. So, pathetic.
Yeah, that's a good word for it. Pathetic. Heartrending, pitiful, terrifying. You know, we could go on.
Well, yeah, I look at the United States nowadays, and I see them really no different from the North Koreans, you know, and to a degree even here, the Japanese, you know, who are like sheep, and they don't end up questioning and thinking. And I mean, we were fortunate enough to finally get a new mayor here in our city because the people did connect the dots, and they realized they're about 5 years from bankruptcy. Because the former mayor, conservative, just spent and spent and spent, and all the money went to the construction industry. And so now we got a mayor that actually cares about the poor. But, you know, now the roosters are coming to hatch. You know, the bills are needing to be paid. And the ward, you know, I talked to some of my friends in the ward office, and they're talking about where they have a job still, talking about which services to close down, which was unheard of before. So, and it's going to be a time, as you know, Al Gore said in his movie, an age of consequences now.
Yes. And, of course, I would think that something like that playing in Japan, that I don't know what the Japanese word for duh is, but that they would see it and a great big collective duh, whereas, you know, here in the United States, you know, you've got an entire right-wing machine that mobilizes to try to keep the American people from paying attention to the fact that, you know, this isn't just something. This is a real, live, honest-to-God, on-top-of-us crisis.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, people don't realize how serious it is. I mean, just our city debt, I think, I calculated it would take 500 years to pay off. I mean, if a house mortgage is 30 years to pay off, you know, and they add, you know, they spent billions of dollars on all kinds of dumb, stupid things like a downtown shopping mall in Kurosaki, a port that they spent 8 years building, which has no ships. I mean, I could go on and on and on. And now it's, you know, the bills are coming due, and so it's you know, it's okay. We can be closing this service, that service, this and this and this, and it's going to be really, really quite interesting. But, you know, an economist once remarked that, you know, a few years ago when the Japanese economy picked up again, he said that's the worst thing that can actually happen because people don't make any changes. They don't really fundamentally change the economy to really help, you know, everybody. Because then it's life goes on.
Yeah.
And so maybe the crisis, you know, the coming crisis is a good thing. Maybe people will wake up and say, hey, you know, things really, really need to change. And, you know, it's like a crisis.
But Robert, is that in the nature of human beings to actually be that way?
Well, I think so. I mean, people don't make any changes until they're, you know, almost eating dirt. That's like the people in Idaho. You know, they will lose Craig, and what do you think they're going to do? They're going to vote in another stupid Yahoo Republican.
Yeah.
You know,
because that's Yahoo, the culture that they've got. Yeah. They've got a Yahoo producing culture.
And until a crisis happens, you know, until they're almost eating dirt, I think, they're just not going to change. It's like Mississippi. You know, Mississippi is now number one in obesity, right? And it's also, number one or the lowest in educational spending.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think that that culture is going to actually change. Until,
but see, but they've got a chip on their shoulder. I mean, if you know the white power structure in Mississippi, you know they're not at the bottom or top, depending on how you look at it, of all those statistics, because there's anything wrong there. The data has been manipulated. The data ain't true. That's a case of the liberal media talking about our obesity. You know, if the liberal media quit talking about our obesity, we wouldn't have an obesity problem, rather than addressing the actual problem itself.
Well, the more I travel, the more I realize that culture is, and subculture is really the whole key to human civilization. Japan should be, in a way, one of the poorest countries on earth. It's resource poor. It's over here in Asia, but it's the second richest country technically, if you don't want to add in all the debt, in the world, most powerful economy, and it all goes back to its culture, its value of education. I once had an education class that talked about the modernization principles, and if you didn't follow these principles and actually do them, your society would not modernize. And one of them was, of course, you know, maintenance. You had to maintain your equipment and your machines. If you did not maintain them, then when they're broken, it's too expensive to repair, or you had to buy another one, which was too expensive. So, and that's, you know, that's one of the reasons that Japan is rich, because it does follow a lot of these principles, and that's one of the reasons that Africa is so poor, because it doesn't. But you know, it's the same thing when you look at Mississippi. You look at the subculture and you go, okay, that's why it's poor. That's why it's always going to be poor. You know, how do you change a subculture except through a huge freaking crisis? I don't know.
And the sad thing is, there was a huge crisis about 140 years ago there, Robert.
Yeah.
And it still didn't change anything.
Didn't change anything, yeah.
So, it's a hard question. There are sub questions to it. It's the eternal question of, and Mark Levine was asking it earlier, you know, why will poor working folks vote for a Republican? Why won't it's a question that the Democrats have been very, very unable to answer. Why will people not vote their doggone wallets?
Exactly.
You know, I remember when Ronald Reagan asked in 1984, hey, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? And everybody was supposed to say, yes, yes, Lord Ronald, yes.
Mm.
And yet, if we ask the same questions, and the answer should be no.
No.
The answer comes back, yeah, but at least the queers aren't getting married, and we're trying to stop abortion.
Mm.
And getting a handle on that issue should be job one inside any Democratic, any progressive, any liberal think tank type organization. Why can we not get people to vote their wallets?
Hmm. Indeed. Well, I think with the last election here, I think we may be headed to some change, thank God. But it's just also, I think it's a generational thing. I mean, this leader that we have now is 71 years old. And sometimes I think these older people are just, you know, they have no imagination. They're too set in their ways, and they're just devoid of ideas. And that's the big problem in Japan. Hopefully with this next election coming up, we'll have some decent leaders here. But I'm not too hopeful.
I get more and more jaded, Robert, and more pessimistic about the ability of any election to bring any long-term change. I mean, frankly, I want and I think we're going to have a Democrat of some stripe in the White House in the United States as of November 2001, or November 2008.
Right.
Wow, I time-traveled. Sorry about that. But the problem is that that person will spend the first 4 years, A, cleaning up George Bush's mess, and B, running for the second 4 years.
Right.
And it will
compromising with Republicans, so we have half-assed results that they then tear apart, and then people are still dissatisfied with. And I don't know. It's like Edward saying, "Yeah, we should raise the minimum wage," but in 2012, or even last night, was it on the latest debate? They were saying, "Yeah, we probably will pull the troops out of Iraq sometime in my 4 years. Quibble, and it's just, you know, it's just like, I just want to knock my head against the wall, and then Kucinich is just not getting any press, you know?
Yeah, because he's crazy. Or because he's short. Or because he's not Hillary. Or not Barack Obama. Or,
right.
You know, because it's hard to talk about his haircut like they do with John Edwards.
Right.
And I think it's deliberate, Robert, because if you actually if he actually got press coverage, then you'd have to talk about the issues that he raises. And if you start talking about the issues that Dennis Kucinich raises and the way that he talks about them, then you would have to try to refute the common sense of them, and it is darn near irrefutable.
Yeah.
And then where's your horse race?
Right. Well, they picked out Hillary and maybe Obama, and that's about it. And
yeah, because I'm sure they've already got the graphics, Robert. America's first woman president, the inauguration. America's first woman president, the election. America's first woman president's first 100 days. And they've already got the graphics, the snappy music. It's all already loaded.
Mm.
And it makes their job easy because they don't have to talk policy. I mean, watch any news network. I can remember being a kid, and quite honestly, being a little bit bored, because the news would actually talk about stuff. I mean, you had an economics correspondent, for instance. But now, a story about economics is a graphic with a bar graph, and to quote Don Henley, a bubble-headed bleach blonde, who points out the numbers on the graph, and you're left sitting there going, what? You know, you turn on Lou Dobbs, it's supposed to be a business and economics, and all that poor sucker can talk about is the brown people that scare him to death.
Yeah. And then they end up selling their damn books, I mean, or promoting their damn books, you know, which blows my mind. I mean, can you imagine Walter Cronkite opening up a book and having someone promote it for him?
And that's the way it is, and that's the name of my new book. It's available at Amazon.com.
Oh, God, Lord. It's just so
upsetting. It is. It is. Yeah. Are you doing well apart from the ear infection, Robert?
Yes. Classes are going to start up next week. So we're doing retests. So Japan, despite its little image of being very stern and strict, if you flunk an exam, you get a chance to retake it. So this is the week in which the people that flunked their exams get to take it again, see if they can pass the course. So that's what I'm in the middle of. So, at least with my ear problem, the medical bills weren't so high because, you know, we have pretty much national health insurance here. And so in the 14 years I've been here, the cost hasn't ever risen.
Well, that's a question I have for you, Robert. One of the things, if we talk about universal health care or national single-payer health care, whatever, in this country, the right wing always comes to me, well, you know, you'll have crushing tax debt.
Yeah.
You're obviously, you know, you're not a citizen, but you're still paying for it. Are you crushing? Are you crushed with debt?
No. I think maybe the overall healthcare deduction is maybe about $250 a month. And if I go see a specialist, it gets known to be no more than about, say, $14 for the visit and the medicine. So, yeah, it's not so bad.
No, that's really not so bad.
And it hasn't really risen, because if you think about it, Bob, the nurses and the doctors, and, you know, there's, at least here in Japan, the salaries are pretty much set, and so if they're not going to get any money, there's no reason for any, you know, increases in your bill, right? So, believe it or not, everything's been stable for the past 14 years, even food prices. So, that's what you have with a healthcare plan that's, you know, not for profit. And it's easy. You show your card, walk in, you see the doctor. I don't wait no more than 5 or 10 minutes at most, and there it is. So
Wow.
And this is a nation that, I mean, it will be going up because we are, we're a nation with, you know, in which the median age is now 55, maybe. So we're going to have more and more people going to the doctors and, you know, having, but it's one thing to have that kind of increase other than an increase just based on profit taking, which leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Without a doubt. Yeah, we see those kind of increases about every year and a half or so. The water company here will say, well, you know, we need to pay more profits to our shareholders. We need a rate increase, and they'll go to the Public Service Commission. So, you know, it's not.
We had a water increase, I think, maybe 2 years ago, and that was the first one in, I don't know, since I've been here. So, but still, I'll pay about $50 a month, I think. So.
Yeah, I can't argue. Can't argue with that. Robert, I've got to roll on. I've got people, I believe, on hold. But have a wonderful, wonderful morning, sir.
You too.
All right.
Always.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Our good friend Robert in Japan. Okay, here we go. Let's find out who dialed in and then hung up and dialed another number. You did. Oh, this is annoying. Hey, welcome to the program. Who have I got?
You got Joe Vecchio.
Hey, Joe, how you doing, brother?
Okay, I just came in the door doing a job search thing. A long, long bus ride out there. 2.5 hours to get to where the voice was.
Ugh, how'd it go?
So, but I just got in, so I have no idea what you've been talking about. What you've been talking about?
Oh, a little bit of everything. Having a fit about O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh saying that troops who don't support the war or think the war's a mistake are phony soldiers. You know, just, you know, the beautiful stuff. The beautiful stuff, Joe.
Can we drive a tank over him?
I don't know if it's got the ground clearance to get over his fat ass. Sorry, didn't mean to do that.
But, you know, that's just so frustrating. You know, I was thinking about this, and I was just Avedon Carroll of The Sideshow, which is a great website, and a bunch of other people have been talking about the Democratic capitulation on all things Bush. I mean, basically, did they pass the telecom thing? Did that get allowed to where the telecom people get retroactive immunity for all the illegal stuff that they've
done? You know, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen it. I was following some other stuff, yesterday's Kyle Lieberman amendment, and, you know, otherwise known as Let's Kill Iran. You know.
Yeah, seriously. Did that pass? I mean, I really don't even know.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it passed, and Hillary Clinton voted for it.
So, you know, and that's all the excuse. Well, he's not that he needed any excuse anyway. Now he can say, you know, it was bipartisan. So, you know, when he goes to war with Iran and everything goes.
Well, Hillary voted for it, and
already well than I am, bastard.
Hillary voted for it, and Barack didn't show up for the vote. So,
let me talk about my experience today, if I could.
Oh, go ahead, please.
Just to give you an example, the place that that I went to interview for, called Primerica. And they're a fairly big financial outfit. They work with Citigroup. And basically the job is financial consulting. In essence, insurance salesman. And it's something I can do because it's not hard sales. It's just, you know, you talk to people and you get their finances together and, you know, you see if you can work out an investment plan for them, you know, to help them with their retirement because, you know, assuming there's going to be some place for them to retire to in the next 20 or 30 years.
Right.
But, you know, the problem is that it's a commission-only job, and I don't even know, I haven't even had time to check this out. I don't even know if you need a license to sell insurance, if that's a requirement, because they're
Yeah, I bet you do. I mean, in most states, you do.
You do. Okay. See, I really, you know, that's how ignorant I am, Bob, about stuff like this, is that I have no idea whether or not these people are telling me the truth or they're lying to me because they just need bodies. And I told my roommate when I came in, I said, you know, they want me too much. You know, if they want a burnt out old Hulk like me that, you know, that they didn't mind me being an hour and a half late for this interview because I had no idea it was as far away as it was, or at least I didn't know how long it was going to take, and they still wanted to give me an interview and they still want to talk to me even after I told them what my current financial situation is, that scares me that they want me that much.
You know what I'm saying? Because, yeah, you know, I do know, and that's
facts here. I am 46 years old.
okay? And it's very difficult for a 46-year-old or older person to find any kind of serious career work. At this point in your life, you're supposed to be in the middle of your career somewhere, you know, looking forward to your time. And hell, in 16 years, Rob, I'm going to be 62 and eligible for retirement, right?
Well, not really, because you're too young to be eligible at 62. You'll be eligible at 70.
Oh, well, you know. That gives me another.
Hey, yeah, that's off. Yeah, you've got more work life ahead of you.
And what I'm trying to avoid here, and here's the deal, and I've talked about this. I am $2,000 in arrears on my rent. Okay, I owe my landlord $2,000 at this point.
Yeah.
And that money is not coming. I mean, donations, ad sales. Nobody's got money to give me. They got enough to give Marcos $1.5 million a year. But, you know, for Joe, who does a daily radio show and does his best to get the word out, you know, there's nothing. Okay? And here's the deal, and I'm going to say this publicly, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to reach my family down in Florida, even if you remember that deal I was telling you about with them wanting to take care of my dad.
Yeah.
And I'm going to see if that's still available. And if that is, I'm going to seriously consider doing that, which means I'll probably have to end the radio show, which I don't want to do, but I don't see where I have any choice.
Jesus.
And, you know, the thing is, I can get this job, and I can work this job for a year or so, and maybe it'll be good enough, and I'll be good enough at it so that I can earn enough money so that I can save enough in a year to think, okay, do I still want to do this for another year or not? And if I don't want to do it, then I'd have the money to at least take my time and do a good job search and not have to worry about, you know, if I miss a week's work, can I pay the rent? See what I'm saying?
Yep.
And what scares me is that there are so many other people in the same position that I am. I'm just trying to avoid in this job search, you know, repeating the cycle of just getting a job that barely pays enough, that doesn't even pay enough to cover my expenses. And it's hard to do that when, you know, every day you realize that you're deeper in debt and, you know, there's no other money coming in. And, I don't have to tell you the amount of support you get from the lefty blogosphere if you're not part of somebody's little
clique.
Well,
you know, look, I mean, Joe, your situation is by far more dire than anything I could talk about. But the fact of the matter is, this is Thursday. Tomorrow will be the last show in the month of September. We try to raise $2,000 a month to cover the basic expenses of running this network. That includes the bandwidth, the telephones, the power bill, you know, everything it takes to make this go. Well, you know, we made it halfway this month.
Yeah, see, so, you know, we're not good enough, Bob. You know, we're not part of the clique. We haven't elected a capitulating Democratic Congress. You know, we can't get $9,000 per week in ads.
Yeah,
you know, or $25,000 a month like some other websites do.
But, you know, you talk about having to go off the air. The fact of the matter is, I'm not. You're not pulling an Oral Roberts, and neither am I. It's not like, you know, send me $1 million or Jesus is going to call me home.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know,
that's not what it is. These are very real facts. You're in a spot. I'm in a spot. And let's be fair. I mean, let's be candid. What we raise to keep the network on the air goes to literally the nuts and bolts of keeping the network on the air. It's,
right.
You know, it's not I estimated at one time, I think if we could raise something like $12,000 a month, then I could send a check for about $1,000 to every one of the Horn hosts and we could cover expenses. But you know what? I can't raise two. How the hell do I ask people for 12?
I guess we're just not doing a good enough job. You know, I guess we're not.
No, Joe, I don't buy that.
You know,
I've had too many people who are talk radio listeners who listen to this program, listen to your program. They write, they tell me. You know, this stuff, what we do, stands up against anything anybody else is doing, day in and day out.
Why are we in this position then? That's what I want to know. What are we doing wrong that we're in this position?
Well, for starters, we have some morals and some ethics, and those will always get you in trouble.
Well, are you saying that Marcos doesn't have any morals? How did he get so big? Apparently, from what I understand, a bunch of ex-Dean people took his site and used that to build on their little stuff, and he was just the site that they chose. Atrios, I have no idea how Atrios got as big as he did. I mean, he was just a regular blogger until all of a sudden, wham, bam, thank you, man, he's getting, 400,000, 500,000 hits a day. So where did that happen? How did that start? Was it because Eric Altman linked to him from time to time?
Maybe. I mean, some of it, Joe, is magic, okay? It just is. Some of it, and you know how I feel about magic. I don't buy into it. But some of it is the magic of you getting noticed by somebody. It's the Beatles playing in the cavern, okay? If they were playing Thursday instead of Friday, they'd have never got found. Do you see what I'm coming where I'm coming from? We have to increase the critical mass. The more people that hear us, the more likely it is that the right people will hear us. The right people have heard us, Joe. That's the problem. But that's the frustrating side of it too. The right people have heard us, and they write and they talk to me, and I have phone conversations. They say, Jesus, it's amazing what you do. I said, is it amazing? You know, and I say, is it amazing enough to for you to write a check or for you to talk to the people who can write the check to find the people who can advertise? Is it amazing? Oh no, it's not that amazing.
You see? Well, then something's not right. So maybe I'll do a, I keep forgetting the guy's name. Howard Finneman from Network?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'll do an on-air suicide, Bob. Maybe that'll get some attention.
Don't even joke about that, Joe. Don't even joke about that.
You know, or I'll do a National Lampoon. Buy this magazine or we'll shoot this dog, you know?
Right.
Gotta do something. But, I think what's basically going to happen... Unless a miracle occurs in the next 3 days, then I'm probably, if the offer is still there, I'm going to go down to Orlando and take care of my dad and just basically drop out of everything, simply because I can't afford to keep it up and I can't bear to watch it anymore. And wait for Florida to go underwater when the tides rise. Isn't that a wonderful way to end your show, Bob?
You are a ray of sunshine, Joe Vecchio.
Am I a nice, wonderful person? Oh, look, maybe I'll do a happy, happy, joy, joy dance to finish up. Happy, happy, joy, joy. I'm just, it's just I'm in a bad position right now, and I realize things will get better. And, they've got a local station here, a local progressive talk station. I talked to the lady at Yearly Cost. I emailed her. They don't want to know from me. They don't do any live broadcasts here. They do all syndicated stuff, I guess Air America and stuff. But they don't want to know me. They don't want to talk. So what I'm going to do tomorrow is I'm going to go down to their studio and go there and say, why the hell haven't you hired me? What is your major malfunction?
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe I can get something done there. Or, you want to do internet radio? I said, screw you!
Well, that's one of those things that makes a little hair stand up on the back of my neck, Joe. Ah, it's only internet radio. It's only the largest market on earth. Now, I get real militant when people talk about it's only internet radio, because then
I feel the same way. You got to check. It's kind of like when I was in the military. When I was in the Air Force and I was a senior.
This is the interstate highway system. This is the National Defense Highway System. And it's fallen apart. One of these evenings when we talk to our good friend Alan, the over-the-road truck driver, I'm going to ask him about America's highway system. Because he sees it day in and day out. And he knows what it's like. The people that are on the roads can tell you that the roads are not in good shape. And the roads aren't in good shape because we're busy bombing the snot out of Iraq. And because we're busy doing everything but attending to the people's business. Because, after all, public highways are socialized highways, aren't they? This is sickening. This is just sickening. And the man that George Bush has renamed Governor, what was it? Pallante, said that these were minor deficiencies. He said it was last inspected both in 2005 and 2006. There were no structural deficiencies identified, according to the Minnesota Department of Transportation. Yeah. Now, as far as how the bridge collapsed, one expert said, according to this report, I'm totally puzzled as to why both ends of the bridge would come down all at once. When my colleague tested it, it was very low stress. That's Ted Galambos from the University of Minnesota. He said, I don't think it was overload, so it could have been either some fatigue, failure, or some sudden buckling that would cause the failure. Oh, Lord, I hope we don't have a Minnesota bridge truth movement that arises out of this. But I don't know. This is broken America. This is America where the dog food's poisoned. This is America where you can get killed by peanut butter. This is America where you can get killed driving across a bridge or just living your life behind a levee in the Ninth Ward. This is broken America. This is busted America. This is falling apart America. This is frayed at the edges and coming apart at the seams America. And you care about it, and I care about it, and we pay our taxes, and we do what we're supposed to do.